Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around and drink novelty beverages and talk a little bit about Alex Jones and his effect on the world.
Today, we are drinking a salted caramel mocha.
Indeed.
From a company that needs no buzz marketing.
A company that may or may not have been involved in a scandal where they tried to hire a bunch of immigrants.
Those bastards.
Starbucks.
How could they? Let's...
Starbucks, they're known for making some weird store available products, and this one is it was marked limited edition. That means I got to give it a try.
Oh man!
So why don't you do the honors? How say you?
I mean, it tastes amazing. It's a cake,
It's
a drinkable cake.
Yeah.
As opposed to the drink we had last week, which was an eatable drink.
Yeah, it had a texture. Had a texture of a cake.
Yeah.
So, guys.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to chew a drink? Give it a go.
I don't anymore. Not after last week. So, today, guys, this is a podcast where I know a ton about Alex Jones. And, Jordan, you do not know much.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And therein we find our dynamic. Today, we are going to be taking a little trip back to 2015.
Because the present. Thank God.
The present is so miserable. Although, I should tell you that Alex Jones on today's show, this is, we're recording this on Thursday. On the 29th, Alex Jones did have a guest on his show who speculated that the globalists are kidnapping children and sending them to be slaves on a Mars colony.
Okay, well, one, that's the first good plan the globalists have ever had.
It's not bad.
That's a solid plan.
But
there's robots terraforming it, and then there's children terraforming it.
Yeah.
And I am pro both of those.
Well, in terms of, like, the present and how violent it's getting, in terms of Alex's rhetoric and his tone, this is very welcome.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff is at least like, that's silly.
Well, did you see the NRA video that they put
out? Holy shit.
Oh my God. I was like, I was sitting there going like, oh, you motherfuckers watch Alex Jones.
I think Alex got a consulting credit
on that
thing.
Yeah, exactly. That was just, hey, liberals are coming for you. Kill them.
Well, they just keep calling them they, too.
Well, yeah.
That's so scary. It's
so
scary.
We're not Americans.
So also the other thing.
Do we have guns? Not Americans.
So now, you might be thinking, is there a Mars colony that these children are going to? This guest seems legit.
Right. Where would they keep it?
He's on Alex Jones's show, so obviously he's credible.
Yeah.
He has some supposed military history, so you know he knows things.
Sure, sure.
Here's how I know he's invalid. In the same conversation where he's talking about this Mars colony, he also talks about how these pedophile globalists have to terrify the children to adrenalinize their blood. It's back to the adrenochrome narrative.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Such bullshit.
Why?
I don't know. It's because you have to get wackier and wackier or else you don't get attention. You know what I mean? Like, they're at this point where it's like, fuck.
I feel like they're doing Monsters, Inc., basically. What they need to do, like, the globalists, if they are terrifying the children,
right,
maybe they discover that they could get even more adrenochrome out of them if they gave them love.
If they made them laugh.
Yeah!
But as we were discussing before the show started, it's very hard to make a comedy.
It is very hard to make a good comedy.
So, before we get to today's show in earnest, I'd like to give a shout-out to our new donator. Hey, what's up out there, Patrick? Thanks for donating.
I'm a policy wonk.
We appreciate it. Thanks for joining up with the team.
Welcome, Patrick.
If you'd like to be a policy wonk, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com, click the support the show link, and drop us a few bucks in a monthly donation format, and you can become a policy wonk.
Yeah, only 6 months from now, and we will have new headphones.
Indeed. By the way, the chair I'm sitting on, falling apart, as is yours. But that is neither here nor there. It's time to jump in the time machine.
Yes. Nope.
On our last
negative 1 points to start the show, Dan.
Oh, I forgot we're keeping score.
Yeah, well, sometimes. Sometimes we are. That one gets a negative one.
So last time we were back in 2015, we ended on August 16th, and Alex Jones had performed his pivot.
Yes.
He had heard Donald Trump say negative things about Hillary Clinton.
And you need to hear.
And he decided, I'm in. Maybe Trump is the guy we need.
Right.
But as I speculated to you, two things.
Yes.
I made two bold predictions. The first was that this was not a full pivot. This was just a warming of sorts, and Alex was not on board with him yet.
Okay.
Second prediction that I made was that Larry Nichols was right around the corner.
Okay.
And I will tell you this. On August 17th, Larry Nichols comes back.
No shit. You were that
day.
You were that right around the corner,
I was
right?
That right around the corner.
Damn it.
So
damn it, Dan.
Larry Nichols, we're not going to listen to
you've
any.
You've gone too deep. You know too much.
I'm not going to play any of Larry Nichols' parts from the August 17th show, but I will tell you that he provides evidence that the Clintons killed Vince Foster.
We need to call and ask him about this. I want to hear in his own words.
He provided a memo that apparently he got from like state troopers or something like that. Seems okay. Inconclusive. I don't know. Also could be fake.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. He also says, Alex is like, how did you get that document? And he's like, I stole it.
I committed a crime.
And Alex is like,
and I'm admitting it on live broadcast.
And Alex is like, you're just covering up for your secret agent sources, right? And he's like, nah, I'll be honest. Things just show up in my mailbox. It's like, dude.
And I don't do any research at all.
You give away your fucking home address on Alex Jones's show. Who knows how many radio shows that you're on soliciting money for your medical bills, which would be covered under Obamacare. But be that as it may.
Hey, Larry Nichols, why not go for Medicare for all? Larry Nichols, join the winning, the losing team. We're all going to die.
It's very bad times on this Thursday.
Yep.
So the other thing he talks about is how he thinks that the stuff with Clinton's server, Hillary's private server.
Emails.
He thinks it's Obama setting her up.
All right. That's not a narrative I've ever heard before.
Well, because
that is the most intriguing narrative I have ever heard.
Well, it's because Larry Nichols believes that Obama wants to become the last president. Because when you're the last president, you become king. And if Obama becomes king, he will immediately turn the United States into an Islamic caliphate.
Right.
At which point he is the leader of Islam worldwide.
Now.
And so he needs to get the Clintons out of the way.
Right.
They're the only force powerful enough to take him down and stop his Islamification plan.
Right.
So he's got to make this server shit happen in order to set up Hillary, take her down. Then there's nothing stopping him from being king of the Muslims.
Okay. Here's my counter theory, all right? Counter theory to that. I agree with the premise.
Obama did
set up Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Why? Revenge on America. Who has been treated worse than Obama? And now it's time.
It's fair.
Now Obama's thinking, you know what? I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah,
I'm done with you fucks. Guess what? Welcome to Trump. Now you'll finally appreciate me. Don't ya? Don't ya, Appalachia?
Have a hot plate of Trump.
Yeah.
You assholes.
How good is Obamacare looking now, fuckface? God, that's reasonable enough that I believe that now. I think that's true. I have declared it. Trump is Obama's revenge on us.
It follows like human nature, but at the same time, Obama's not nearly that petty.
Well, Did you read the, think about the Russian story, right? Maybe Obama could have revealed all the information that he already knew. Maybe he could have told us. Maybe he could have done something.
I feel like
what happened? Nothing.
I feel like that comes into legality, though. I'm not entirely sure about all the dynamics. Be that as it may.
Currently, I don't think anything any president does can now be punished by any force of law.
It's Thunderdome.
Yeah, it's all over.
So be that as it may, my prediction was right the fuck on that Larry Nichols was coming. And he shows up on this episode.
And you're not saying that to brag.
No, but I'm right all the time.
Exactly.
But also, I'm right about the other thing I suggested.
What
was
that?
Here's where Alex's head is on August 17th, 2015, as it relates to Trump.
Okay.
My gut tells me not to completely trust Donald Trump, but also not to completely judge him and say that he's an operative completely. And now I've moved from 50-50 on Trump to 60-40 towards him.
What does that mean?
Because what he's doing is hurting the establishment.
The imaginary team in my head that I'm against.
And I can see all the angles of how he ends up helping Hillary. In fact, we have a piece Paul Watson did last week for InfoWars Nightly News, I never aired on the radio. I want to play that with his perspective on how Trump's bad at the bottom of the hour. But then I'm going to go over why Trump may be good. And I want to be clear, I'm not endorsing Donald Trump.
Okay. All right.
I'm simply just not going to be the ultimate cynic, ultimate critic. I'm going to wait until he sells people out, and then not just myself, but tens of millions of others are going to make sure he's politically and financially punished.
I'm going to hold you to that.
And Trump's not stupid. That's why I've looked at every angle, and something big's going on here, and it's beyond Trump. That's coming up.
So Alex is right.
First off, John Lovitz is the ultimate critic.
He is.
That's just the truth.
Sure.
And
wait, is that all you had?
No, I have a second off.
Okay, that pause.
Jesus.
That pause scared me.
I took
me.
A sip, goddammit.
You didn't even have your...
I took a sip.
You didn't have your hand on the cake bottle.
I looked at my notes. I took a sip. That was a pause. This is revenge. This is revenge. This is revenge for the replicants, isn't it? I knew it.
You have three words
I
was notes.
No, I have five words.
All right.
Six.
Go ahead.
He's going to wait until he sells people out.
Yeah, which
what
he sees as inevitable.
How can you be 60-40 for Trump and still be like, he's going to sell everybody out?
I don't know. His numbers don't make any sense. He trusts Ted Cruz 95% at this point in history and then cucks him out like 2 months later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? His numbers and his loyalties are meaningless.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like he blows in whatever wind he feels like.
Yeah, for sure. And as the course of this episode goes, our speculation that a lot of this was about Hillary is probably true, but I have found a new leader in the clubhouse.
Okay.
For theories of what's going on.
Obama.
No.
Okay.
Larry Nichols is not correct. So on this episode, one of the news stories he wants to cover is about how there's a sorority that made an ad.
He's already dumb.
Very.
There's a sorority that made an ad.
You have no idea how dumb.
Why do we live in this world?
So they got a little backlash.
Okay.
And the reason is it's because it's an all-white commercial. It's all white people in this sorority.
Okay.
And they got a little backlash.
Is it all white people in a very we love all white people kind of way? Or is it just a sorority that's like...
Let me be clear. I didn't watch the video. But let's get Alex Jones's take on it.
Two white sorority videos slammed for being racially homogeneous.
Homogeneous.
Also, I want to give one little bit of a warning. There is a jump cut in the middle of this audio clip. It's the first time there ever will be one of those on this podcast.
Do you mean, is it the last time as well?
No, maybe not. I'm not sure. But I did that because he talked about the video in two chunks, and in between was a two-minute commercial for Prostagard. So I cut out the commercial and just put the two pieces back to back.
Yeah, but don't you just love the juxtaposition of young sorority girls making a video and then, hey, old dudes.
I do like that.
Watch out for peeing. Sometimes it's hard.
Well, Alex also was like, I take Prostagard every day. It's not like I need it, but, you know.
What is that? What are you talking about? Why? Why are you taking all your pills? You're rotting your brain, Alex.
Oh, also, there was that report that came out about how Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop blog recommends all the same
it's
ingredients
officially
as...
my favorite thing
which is
to
pretty
know.
Wild. But then also, I was reading through that...
Controlled opposition.
I was reading through the article that had all the comparison of her products, her, like, hippie, bougie products, versus Alex Jones's InfoWars products, and how they're all pretty much the same things. And one thing that I didn't realize is, the iodine, the amount that's in the pills that Alex sells is substantially over the recommended amount that you should
have. Per day.
Have. Yeah. Oh. So if you take the iodine every day, you are way against doctor's orders.
Okay.
I think it's like 700 micrograms more than what doctors recommend as a ceiling for what's safe. So taking that much iodine could actually be dangerous.
Yeah.
So if Alex is doing that every day, plus Prostagard, oof.
Plus super female vitality.
Sure.
What else does he? God damn it.
Selenium.
It's
Shelagit.
Z-Shield. I believe him when he says he's taking these things.
Somewhat, yeah.
It's gross and weird.
It's pretty gross, but so is this clip.
It's bad.
I wonder if he can afford
it. If you happen to be a predominantly white fraternity.
20%
off. Well, why are there totally black fraternities, totally Hispanic fraternities?
Easter sales.
I mean, I'm
going
to do a piece
on.
Where I'm going to go out to some of these black bars in East Austin. I'm going to walk in with a camera. I'm not kidding. If I have the time, I'll do it. or my reporters ought to. I'm not scared to do it. Folks will laugh and think it's funny. But I'm going to go into a totally black bar. There's a whole bunch of them in East Austin. I'm going to walk in and go, why is this so black? They're going to say, excuse me? I'm going to say, oh, man, it's a joke. I'm doing a piece. Like, oh, Alex Jones. Watch. I think I'm going to do it. And I'll be, oh, I'm just in here filming for a show. What do you think about this? And I'll sit back and have a beer.
And the point that's how is Alex Jones died.
It's not racist that if you grow up around a bunch of people and that's what you're used to, that's what you do. They got Japanese fraternities. There's not Chinese in them. They're Japanese. They got Chinese fraternities. There's not Mexicans in them. Because it's the culture. It's different. What it is. It's that if you hate other people and then don't want to work with them, that's racist. But we're going to get to that.
So that's where the jump cut is. One of the things that Alex is doing is this really unfair thing where it's like, well, if you grow up in a certain segregated culture, it makes sense that when you're an adult, you want to be segregated.
Yeah, that's not a good argument for anything.
It's not good, but it's also not applicable really to like sororities or fraternities and stuff like that, which are regulated by, you know, organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Like Greek life organizations, and if you have a no black people fraternity, that's a systematic problem. That has nothing to do with I gravitate towards other people of my race. That's institutional.
Well, and not only that, but it's very much impossible to prove or disprove unless you go undercover. It's just like the
Soul Man, like the movie Soul Man,
something like that. No, I mean just like the housing. So they'll have people who are working for regulatory agencies. They'll have white people or white woman, black woman, both go try to rent the same apartment.
Yep.
And they consistently find that black women are quoted a much higher rent.
Mm-hmm.
They're systematically discriminated against.
Yep.
So you can't prove that the sorority is doing this because of this video, but also, you know, It's not necessarily that they're not doing it either.
Right.
You would have to send in an undercover college student to be like, "Hey, I'd like to rush your fraternity or sorority," and they'd be like, "Skin color," and then walk away.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to unpack the idea that there are like all black fraternities and things like that. Because those do exist.
Yeah.
And I don't really see that big of a problem with it somehow.
Eh.
But all white fraternities and sororities do seem like a problem to me. Why is that?
Because you're a white guilt having cuck.
Oh, that's it.
No, here's one of my big issues.
Actually, I just answered my own question in my head.
Yeah.
It's because race in our country, has had a really exclusionary history.
Yeah.
And, that was done by white people.
Right.
It wasn't done by these other disenfranchised groups.
No.
So when we mirror the past, it is a problem.
Right.
And when they have groups that are inclusionary to themselves as a support system.
Yeah, generally it seems like we have to unite to fight back against this because if we don't, then they're going to pick us off one by one.
Or less fight back and more support each other.
Right. Always speaking in violent metaphors.
Well,
now.
We are
it's
not.
It's very frustrating.
It's like we're not allowed in their space, so we create our own space.
Right. Right. That's a good analysis.
I think that might be more why it doesn't really offend me that much.
Right. Well, I think you're right. My thoughts on it are, built around, I think, the way that Chicago is so segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think one of the biggest issues is that if we're this segregated, then it is very much you're still treating people as the other.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the big things that they did that changed things for Alabama immediately following the Civil War is once you have a generation of kids that are fully segregated, or no, not segregated, fully integrated, they don't fear black people. It is very much an inclusionary thing. Everybody gets pissed off whenever you try and do it. But I think integration, even if it's forced integration, ultimately winds up being a much better situation for everyone.
Well, in some ways, that forced integration is a bad way to put it, and it's almost like
it's a very bad way to put it. But
shine that piece up.
Uh-huh.
I think a better way to phrase it would be like immersion therapy for people who are afraid.
Or just desegregation. Like, what was the school system other than forced integration?
Right.
You can call it desegregation, which is still an accurate, moniker, but I think, you know, again, I'm always speaking violent metaphors now. It's a very frustrating time.
It's Alex's fault.
Forced integration!
So, Alex is not done talking about these sororities and this video.
What a shocker.
And it takes a weird spin.
So, coming up, two white sorority videos slammed for being racially homogeneous.
Two white,
so you ever see a rap
two
video
furious.
With the black people in it, or you ever see a Hispanic group of people out of the park? Go up and say, why are you so racist? Why are there 300 Hispanic people at this park barbecuing? Where are the black people? Where are the white people? Racist, racist, racist.
Does it get more indicative of white privilege than that?
Yeah, why can't I join your family's barbecue?
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Can you think of any situation
where... But Alex loves ribs, all right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He always feels left out when there's a barbecue.
Who doesn't love ribs? But yeah, that is the most glaring example of white privilege.
Yeah. Because
you can see that happening and them being like, dude, we're just trying to... Or maybe they're super inclusive.
Well, this is a big argument that white supremacists make about the idea of diversity actually being code for, like, white genocide.
Uh-huh.
The idea that, you know, like, there's these all-white organizations and they need diversity, but you never say that there you need diversity in all-black organizations and stuff like that.
Which, again, it's the difference between the oppressor and the oppressed.
At least historically.
Yeah.
And currently.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And probably for the future as well.
God, doesn't look like...
No, nah, there's
doesn't
not...
Doesn't look like you're going to be wrong. Here we go.
There's not a positive spin.
Not really.
No, what's racist is implying...
Yeah, tell me what's racist, Alex.
That being white or being black or being Hispanic is inherently bad.
That's the only
And the
thing.
Feminist group is complaining about this, doesn't like it, because it's a bunch of really good-looking women. And as we know, modern feminists, for whatever reason, they have international studies out, are three times fatter and on beauty scales much lower. And it turns out they want to dominate women and tell women what to do. And I'm not against lesbians or anything, but let's face it, predominantly a lot of hardcore feminists are lesbians who just want to pimp women. And hey, more power to them. I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but I am impressed by some of the dog ugly women I see wearing,
fuck
you know,
you!
Blue jeans, and they got a chain on their wallet, short
fuck
haircut,
it,
and they're dressing down
on.
Their hot blonde girlfriend, you know,
sake.
Who's got her nails done just right, looks like Marilyn Monroe. And I hear about the police reports where you got the lesbians beating up their girlfriends and their wives. I mean, you'll see like some giant, you know, fat woman with tattoos everywhere. She's got a girlfriend, looks like she's going to be the centerfold next week's Playboy. And that's just how they roll. And the women bow down and they follow their daddy. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what this is really all about.
Ah!
Fake laugh. Also, yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what that whole thing is all about. These feminists are mad because it's a bunch of hot white gals. Ugh. So that was some nuanced. You are so mad. You threw down your pen in the middle of that.
I can't fucking breathe.
Well, because
I can't. There's no way that. See, that's the problem. Like, anytime there's like a fictional meeting between me and Alex Jones in my mind, Alex says something like that, and I just begin to break down and scream. not words. Not like you're a mean guy. Just like yelling directly into his face for an hour.
Let me ask you the what?
Uninterrupted screaming. What? That is fucking unbelievable.
It's gonna get.
How does he get away with saying that? Fucking what?
It's gonna get so much worse.
God, but, fucking damn it.
But like, what is the hypothetical framework of this meeting you're gonna have with Alex? You pitching a show? What are you doing?
No. What we would do? There would be a summit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of course, I would say the only person who could mediate between the two of us is the person who sabotaged Hillary's campaign.
Larry Nichols.
Obama.
Oh, okay. You three, you have a beer.
Exactly.
Alex might have six.
Alex just is like, hey man, I'm really just a character. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just amping it up to you know, play what? Off these dum-dums who buy this product. I'm just in it for the money.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I totally understand that. But Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about all-white sororities? And then he'd start talking. And
these lesbos are mad.
They're predominantly lesbian. It's fucking everybody.
These lesbians.
It's me.
The lesbians are so mad because they're ugly.
I'm mad. And I am the most beautiful man in the world.
You're mad about something you didn't know existed from 2 years in the past.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
There was no consequences for saying that shit, period.
None.
Do you know your drink is espresso?
Yeah.
Okay, this might be an issue. This is my brain force. You've just destroyed
us.
Now I'm amped up all the time.
I didn't realize that you had that sensitivity to caffeine.
I drink a pot of coffee every single day.
Uh-oh. Okay.
This is going to be lunacy.
Wow. All right. Let's try and get through this then. This next clip that we have from August 17th, Alex talks a little bit about Hillary Clinton. And then I left this in, mostly because, what I brought up on the last episode, the trend of very positive feelings towards Russia.
Uh-huh.
Next clip demonstrates some of them.
Oh boy.
And, Alex says some pretty fucked up stuff.
But you gotta admit, it's a great con game. It's a great confidence game by Hillary and all the rest of her types that they are the men now. And they dress like men. They talk like men. They've taught men to be subservient, to act like little boys. And they get all the girls. Hillary gets all the girls for herself. And she should be proud of that. I mean, you think these Mac Daddy rapper guys got a bunch of girls in their videos? Hillary's got it for real. Rolling in the crib. She got the drugs, everything. Party time, baby. And Bill likes the girls, too. We got Larry Nichols coming on to tell us all about it, former Clinton insider. Even the New York Times admits that's who Clinton worries about at night. We're going to talk about the fall of Hillary Clinton and Bill coming up. It looks like it might be happening. But speaking of the devil, let's go to this clip of Hillary talking about how Vladimir Putin is like the guy from House of Cards. No, Vladimir Putin's former KGB and a tough guy and reportedly was an assassin. But he rules by straight shooting and has an 87% approval rating.
He does rule by straight shooting.
He's a strong man.
That is true.
Publicly. House of Cards guy is a manipulating crook who acts like a sweet, non-threatening person. That's you, Hillary. So here she is saying Putin is House of Cards. You talk about distorting reality. Here it is.
Wow. Wow.
He's a straight shooter.
Well, with a gun.
Look.
Straight shooter when he murders journalists.
Very few of the journalists that have been shot were shot more than two or three times.
That's a fair point.
Very straight shooter.
Also, whenever you have strong arm leaders, don't cite their approval ratings.
No, they're, look.
87 is low.
Who's the king of Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. The crown prince just got forced out.
Yeah. 97% approval rating, though.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why he got forced out.
No protests.
None. That's the sign of a happy people.
But you see Alex.
Not a constantly under threat of murder people.
You see Alex is completely buying into Russian propaganda. At this point, he must be watching a ton of like RT and Sputnik and shit like that. Like, he has referenced, how like RT, and he's said you watch Russian propaganda, or like, he doesn't call it propaganda, but he's like,
that would be hilarious. Like, have you seen RT? This propaganda shit? This is good stuff.
He's like, you watch Russian state television and it's like, it's all Alex Jones's on there. I'm like, yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, you should look hard in a Russian mirror.
Yeah. So when he's like, I hate tyranny. I love freedom and everything like that. Then, Putin's a strong leader. He's got a great approval rating. He's a straight shooter. He's not manipulative. It's like, Alex.
And his whole, but like, they're dressing like men. Like, it sounds like he's mad at Mary Tyler Moore or Murphy Brown. Like, we've already established this is fine, dude.
Women go, in the workplace?
Yeah, go fucking back in time whenever that makes sense.
You're not pissed off about? I'm pissed off about ladies who lunch.
Yeah.
So that,
what is it with pantsuits?
It's unbecoming. That brings us to the end of August 17th. That was most of, cause we're not gonna, like I said, we're not talking about Larry Nichols.
Prick.
Also, Gerald Celente comes on to talk about how, the end is near for the economy, also buy gold. He says that the economy is definitely going to collapse by the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
And so buy gold, or implied because of the last episode, maybe Max coins. Maybe one of Alex Jones's guests own cryptocurrency.
God, I want to get some of that now.
So now we come to
can we still get Max coin?
I think it's still available. Yeah.
Oh man.
So Jordan.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna go to August 18th, and okay. That will take up the rest of our show.
Oh, I don't. That anytime one episode in the investigation takes up the rest of our show, that means it's going to be really fucked up. Isn't
something
it?
Big happened.
Oh.
You remember a couple episodes back, Alex Jones got a call from a literal white supremacist.
Yes, I recall.
Told him, you need to have David Duke on your show.
Oh, fuck. He has David Duke on his show.
He has David Duke on his show.
Fuck you, Dan.
For 2 hours.
Dan.
Most of
the
show. You are
going to make me listen to a former grand, former. Who can prove?
He actually has some negative things to say about the Klan.
Okay.
Weirdly. But it's, it's like, damage control.
Like the administrative services weren't great.
No, it's more like,
I gave up being a Grand Dragon because the health plan was shit.
It's more like, I was one of the good ones and I got out.
Oh.
Right. Whatever. Yeah, I know. So, David Duke is resoundingly a horrible, horrible human being. I don't need to go into detail on it, and I don't want to repeat a lot of what he says on my show, because we have control over this show.
Yeah.
And I've cut out most of the flaming bigotry that comes out of his mouth.
Right.
But I've left in some stuff that is important for our investigation.
Okay.
Because this interview does not go how Alex Jones wants it to.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
We've established in the past that Alex Jones is a terrible interviewer.
Yes.
He thinks that he's bringing David Duke onto the show, and it's going to be a gotcha. I'm going to ask him about abortion. I'm going to ask him how Planned Parenthood is genocide. I'm going to bring up all my narratives, and he's not going to have an answer, and then David Duke is going to be humiliated on my show. It goes very differently.
This is an astronaut all over again, isn't it?
It's way worse.
Except instead of somebody who's gone into space and who's seen the pale blue dot that the world is. Instead, it's somebody who rustles underneath rocks like a caterpillar poisoning, not caterpillar, a millipede.
Yeah.
Poisoning whomever he touches.
Here's the
centipede. Which one's the most poisonous?
Either.
Venomous.
A chimera of them.
Ooh. See, now we're getting into the good tech.
So I'm not going to, like I said, if you want to know more about David Duke, look him up on your own. You can find some really fucking horrible things he said. Right. You can find him being very supportive of the Nazi party in America. You can find, and he always couches it behind, I'm just trying to protect my own, that sort of thing, which is dicey.
Ah.
But before we get into the interview, here is what happens. Alex Jones didn't do his research, and he doesn't know how much he agrees with David Duke.
Of course not.
So all he knows is this guy used to be in the KKK, and he pushes race politics. So like he's like, David Duke, you're like a white version of these minority groups that I hate. You're like La Raza, which he thinks is some sort of gang, but it's actually an advocacy group.
Of course.
He's like, you're like Farrakhan, but for white people. That's sort of his premise. What he doesn't realize is that David Duke, for all the horribleness of him, he is way smarter than Alex. And believes basically the same thing.
Of course.
Except he says Jews instead of globalists.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. Alex,
because the globalists are Jews.
Alex's entire philosophy is built around this anti-Semitic buildup. From, like, late 1800s on.
Right.
From the time of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion coming out. You get through to the, like, creation of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
All of this stuff is the foundational aspects of this massive Jewish conspiracy. That they're controlling everything that we do. The Zionists. And what have you. Which is what globalism is.
Right.
The fear of globalists is that.
Yeah.
So...
So Alex comes out thinking he's going to prove he's not a racist.
Yes.
And then it turns out he proves that he is a racist.
No.
While at the same time believing that he's still proving he's not a racist.
No, I don't think you have it quite right. What I think more happens is that Alex is caught off guard by having to agree with a lot of the stuff that David Duke says.
Mm-hmm.
And all he has to go back on is you're obsessed with Jews and not much else. So Alex gets cucked basically on his own show by a like an out and out white nationalist.
Of course.
And I think that this is demonstrative of a few things. Alex Jones is weak as hell. He starts to see some of
this KKK ain't so bad.
And then also
this KKK is OKKK.
And then also David Duke uses a number of arguments that Alex Jones ends up eventually using. So in the same way that Alex Jones would take information from callers and integrate it into his theories, I can see at least three or four points in this interview
that he
where
makes
David
later
Duke,
on.
David Duke says something, and then within episodes that I've heard in the future of this, Alex just mirrors it identically. But he says globalists.
Of course.
Instead of Zionists or
instead
Jews.
Instead of Jews.
So, like I said, I tried to cut out as much of just the out-and-out hatred as possible because we don't need to sit through that.
Is that it? Is that all you have to do to rebrand and make out-and-out bigotry more acceptable is just change a word?
Yeah, apparently. So, Jordan, without further ado, let's dive into this interview with David Duke. Here's how it starts.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we can have a good debate here.
Well, I hope so. And if you give me a chance to talk, that would be great, and I look forward to a real discussion about some of the basic issues, because I would like to get down to the bottom today about who the real elite is in this country and in the world that is truly, as you say, and it's totally true, they're an enemy of all mankind. And I think for them, and you've even said this as well in the first part of the show, you said they want to, in some ways, go against European peoples because they want to control the West and the power of the West. And I think that's why we're in these wars in the Middle East, really wars for Israel and wars for the globalist powers. But I'm not a carbon copy or a mirror image of Al Sharpton. The truth is that there is a racism that dominates America, a supremacism.
There we
but
go.
But it's racism, vicious, hate
Get
propaganda,
on it. You know who it
and
is.
Racism against the European American.
No!
And as far as eugenics or as far as limiting births, the real population explosion, black people have a much higher birth rate than whites. Mexicans have a much higher birth rate than even African Americans. European Americans have about a 1.6 birth rate, which means we're losing a quarter of our people every generation.
We
the population explosion in the world is an African explosion. The United Nations just recently put out a statistic showing that in Africa by 2050, there'll be 1.3 billion Africans. And that's almost entirely because of the massive birth rate. So I don't believe that these globalists are intentionally trying to
medical technology.
Limit the birth rates of Africans or African Americans or whatever. The truth is that the only people on the planet who are losing their numbers, and of course it's only white nations that are being massively invaded by immigration, which the globalists and the Zionists have set up and dominated in the United States, Canada, Australia, every European nation today is under attack.
So there, even in his opening statement, he sounds very similar to Alex, just not careful with his language. He's making the same points. The globalists are attacking all these European white nations with immigrants.
Dan, I signed on to this podcast to listen to one Alex Jones. I did not sign on to listen to two Alex Joneses agree with each other.
Well, but it's important. It's really important. I know it's brutal. I know that no one wants to listen to David Duke. But in terms of where we end up, this is crucial.
Okay.
And you are so mad. You are so mad.
No, I'm mad. I'm mad.
Okay.
The control the West narrative. Mm. The West. Mm. They always throw around the West as though that means a goddamn fucking thing.
Well, the West and European Americans are the same. It's just
white. What you mean is Europe and North America, and what you really mean is North America And what you really mean is the United States. And then what you really, really mean is fucking white people. Just say white people.
And people who are close enough to white to visually pass.
Just get rid of your bullshit. Don't say the fucking West.
Well, no, but that's the intellectual bigotry of a David Duke. You know, he's less careful with his language than Alex in the sense that he is out in front about it, that he thinks that
it's the Jews.
That's the Jews, and that white people are being genocided.
Yeah.
They're
being outbirthed.
Alex fears those sorts of things, but is a little bit more couched in his language. But, you know, David Duke is smarter in the sense that he wouldn't be as dumb to say white. Because then you can hide behind.
Yeah.
You can hide behind the West.
Right.
You can't really hide behind white. There's way more you gotta be worried about. Way more angles of attack.
Like, can't we... I'm fine. You know what? David Duke, continue being a racist.
But he will.
Every single thing that an immigrant anywhere has invented, has patented, has anything, you no longer get to use.
You only
get to use things made by white people.
No, they just stole them all.
You
from
only
the
get to use things made by white people. That's that. So that's our rule now. That's the one law that if I was any kind of king of any sort, and I hope you guys all eventually elect me to be the autocratic dictator.
I think there will be voting coming
up. I think eventually it will be me.
Sure.
My one law is if you think that it's white people, you only get to use white people things.
Okay.
That's it.
I think that's a very reasonable rule.
We prove everything that's been invented by an immigrant that you use, like pretty much all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
White people don't get to use anymore.
Okay.
Done.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So David Duke likes to pretend that he's real smart and has got a lot of sources for things. But one of the first sources that he cites about his sort of Jewish supremacy over America.
An InfoWars article?
No, it's even worse than that.
No.
I'll let him I'll play this clip and then I'll explain what the source is and how David Duke, you busted.
But who runs Hollywood? It's not European American Christians, my friend. Every one of the 10 largest Hollywood studios of movies and television are all Jewish controlled. I can give you the names. We have a graphic here of Jewish pundits like at the Los Angeles Times, who is in the middle of Hollywood, where he boasts that Jews totally run Hollywood. And in the article, he lists all the leaders of the Hollywood networks, and he says he's insulted when people try to argue, or when even Jews argue that Jews don't control Hollywood. He's proud of it. And he goes on to say, I don't care if people think we're running the Federal Reserve, international banking, Wall Street, the media, and government. All I care is we keep on running them.
So that sounds pretty bad. You know what happens in the middle of that clip? They flash up on screen the graphic that he sent along. And it's an article by Joel Stein.
No.
Do you know Joel Stein? Noted satirist and humorist Joel Stein.
Yeah. 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 Wow.
Jewish pundit. Yeah. Like, if you're taking that, a Joel Stein article, as your proof that, like, the Jews admit it.
Right.
They run everything.
Right.
You got a problem. That's not good. That's like taking a Dave Barry column.
That's that's an Onion thing.
More or less.
Yeah. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Great, David Duke. You're a fucking hero.
But that should give you some sort of an indication about the level of thoroughness he does in terms of, you know, verifying his sources, figuring out, making sure he knows exactly what he's talking about when he wants to make claims on a radio show listened to by millions of idiots.
And here's another thing. I think when we're running low on food, we should start eating poor Irish babies.
Oh, that's
the trick.
This proposal sounds modest.
It is. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's only one small group of people.
Sure.
We've got plenty more in the West.
Right. I want.
How else do we increase white people's birth rate than by eating white babies? That's just a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good science. I should say, Joel Stein has a sort of problematic history. He's written some things that are pretty fucked up. But all in all, at least, especially at this point in his career, he's a humorist. He might make some bad points at some point, times. I remember I read this article that he's referencing, and it's meant in jest.
Yeah.
He clearly just picked, like, some quotes and was like, this proves all my points.
Right.
He's a fucking idiot, David Duke. Like, that needs to be said.
Yeah.
But, so this next clip, They get into a
That's another thing white people don't get to use, humor.
I don't know. I think the West invented humor. The British.
Jews.
With their rot. Oh, that's
I don't know
point.
How I got racist all of a sudden. What just happened to me?
It's like the violent language is rubbing off on you. Now David
I'm,
Duke
now
is
I'm,
rubbing
I'm, Now I'm fucking David Duke left.
You can blame the espresso.
Yeah.
So in this next clip.
I want single payer health care and I don't want the Jews to have it. What's wrong with me? I'm David Duke on the left. I'm a progressive David Duke now.
Socialist Duke.
Yeah.
So,
they call me the Duke of Socialism. Jesus Christ. Just fucking kill me.
So, in the first clip of David Duke that we played, you could hear that he agreed with Alex in terms of immigration stuff. He agreed in terms of there being a globalist force that they were up against. And in this next clip.
And he very slickly threw it in there as like a, the globalists. And the Zionists. He puts the globalists up there first as like a little candy and stick for Alex Jones to be like,
"There's a
I agree the globalists," and then he says Zionists, and he's like, "I don't agree the Zionists."
There's a large sense that I think David Duke is trying to get Alex to recognize that they agree on stuff.
Of course.
But in this next clip is another indication of two things that they agree on.
That was my next question. What do you think of Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know if I can trust him because he's been involved with the Zionists and he's one of these guys in the Republican debate. We got a controlled media. We, even Fox News is like a controlled opposition. Orwell was so great about that. And Orwell talked about the controlled opposition. And in his great book, he talks about the controlled opposition. For some reason, he named the controlled opposition Emmanuel Goldstein using two Jewish names. And I think that the Jewish extremists can set up a controlled opposition. And if you saw the debate, it was like an ambush and against Donald Trump. And it was because he was talking about the fact that European Americans are losing the right. The people who built this great country, who gave us the foundations of our Bill of Rights, all the things
Slaves.
You believe about are being replaced. And here's the problem. I believe in having a kind nation toward all people, supporting all people. I am
no,
not for any sort
don't.
Of exploitation. I'll give an example.
What
the media is so powerful, they can
about?
Just make name monikers. I have never, ever been a white supremacist. I believe in equal rights for all people. I've always stated that position, even back in my Klan days. I was a young man.
Oh, boy. That's a tough sentence.
Even back in my Klan days, I was like, hey, listen, white people, we need to kill the Jews and the blacks, but we need to kill them equally.
But you know what? Like,
all people should be treated equal with the fucking... fuck you.
He doesn't get to have a pass on in my young, wild Klan days because he wasn't an entry-level member of the Klan.
No, he was a Grand Dragon, which is already the dumbest thing that you
sure.
could say.
That, yeah, we don't need to go into that because Alex takes care of that a little
right.
bit later. But, yeah, I mean, he can't play that game. That's not fair.
And again,
but,
and we're getting back into Alex's thing of, like, I'm referencing movies. I'm mm-hmm. referencing other things. He's referencing Orwell.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, Orwell hated the Jews. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was wise to make a Jewish name
yeah.
in this book. And then, but even beyond that, there's two very important pieces of Alex's, at least his current framework. And I think they're, you know, pieces that are intrinsic to him that they agree on. Distrust of the media, that the media is full of shit.
Yep.
And that Trump can't really trust him because... as David Duke would say, he's been involved with Zionists.
Or he's been involved with Clinton.
Or he's been, with Alex's framework, he's been involved with the globalists.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same thing.
Right.
This is a meeting of the minds of two men who agree with each other, but don't want to agree with each other. Because Alex, if he admits he agrees with David Duke on just about anything, he is now with David Duke.
Right.
And if David Duke agrees with Alex, he has to... give up the pretense, or he has to give up what makes him, what made him famous, which is being an anti-Semite. You know what I mean?
Do you like, see? Because I kind of
he can't agree with Alex because that's surrender.
Well,
that's,
he can't.
That's
go,
watering down his philosophy.
He can't go to Alex. I think
right.
I hear a lot of him trying to bring Alex to him.
Yeah,
that's what I see. I don't see two men trying to disagree with each other.
Mm.
I see one man trying so hard. To not be racist
uh-huh.
while being racist.
Yeah.
And another man being like, give in, give in to the hate.
Just come on, buddy.
Fear leads to anger.
The water's fine.
Yeah, look. Look at how famous I am, and I hate the Jews. You want to join
Somehow
me?
Somehow I've survived.
Yeah,
no
come
one's
on.
Killed me yet.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like, this is a damning portrait of Alex Jones as a human.
Yeah.
He does try and defend himself a little bit later, and he tries to put up some sort of a resistance to David Duke's. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't know if it's wrong to have David Duke on your show. I don't know about that. I don't want to say. I think it's everyone's right to choose what guests you will have and will not have on your show. I will say that it's wrong that Alex let David Duke say the things on his show that he did unchallenged.
Yeah.
Because the only real rebuke that he gets is, Jew, it's all Jew with you, that sort of thing. That's it. And there's no, like, real pressing back in terms of, like, what?
Does he say it? Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can't. I just get bogged out. I think it is very much just like the all white sorority versus the all black sorority.
Mm.
Anytime a white person says "we," referring to all white people,
yeah.
I'm immediately like, oh, you think we're all going to kill somebody? That's every time black people refer to every black person as we, it's always a thing of solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime white people refer to all of white people as we, it's always a violent thing.
Well,
it's always we're under attack. It's always we need to fight back.
And the reason that you and I might be more averse to that is that there's an implied lumping us in with
yeah.
it, and we want no part of it.
No.
So Alex, like I said, he tries to push back a little bit. And one of the only things that he keeps doing is he keeps trying to get David Duke to say something about Hitler. He keeps
now I'm back on board.
He's like,
now I'm back in with it.
In this next clip, he just sort of like, hey, what do you think about that guy Hitler? And accidentally says some bad stuff himself.
Well, I want to get your views on that, because you say you're not a white supremacist. What is your view of Adolf Hitler? Because I have, not even in mainline history books, but the Nuremberg trials and a lot of German writings as well. I mean, the Nazis really were a weird death cult. They really were into all sorts of weird ceremonial magic. They really did think Hitler was God. I mean, I really genuinely, and I know there's two sides to World War II, but yep. the West funded the rise of Hitler.
That's
the
true.
The West signed a secret treaty that's been basically released by the British to back Hitler in a takeover of Europe. They had Edward VIII ready to be the new king of Europe. They double-crossed, but that doesn't mean Hitler's good. It means, see, again, the West, England, British intelligence, along with some of the U.S., was setting things up. I mean, take Prescott Bush, the head Nazi agent in the U.S., and they're planning for a coup with Smedley Butler. I mean, there's all this other stuff going on.
Nazi agent in the United States at all. I think this is, I'm sorry, but I believe that the information you have there is false. And maybe it's planted by the people as this misinformation. The truth is that there's no evidence at all that Western nations supported the rise of Hitler or any of the Gentile establishment in America.
Oh, no.
He was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah, that's a little wild.
Oh boy.
I love that
Alex's main issue with Hitler is that they were a weird death cult.
Well, yeah, sure.
And then again, who's the West now?
Ugh.
Do Germans not apply to the, are Germans not in the West?
They are now, currently.
Italians?
Yeah. Sure, of course. Yeah, it's fucked up. But here's what's even more fucked up in that clip. First of all, Alex is getting a little dicey with there's two sides of World War II.
Oh, there's two sides.
There's two sides.
You know, one side wanted to rule the world, and the other side was like, stop.
Well, what Alex is...
Those are the two sides.
I think Alex is trying to bait David Duke into getting into how he doesn't believe in gas chambers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was the thought I was thinking he was about to say. The truth is, there were no Jews killed in the Holocaust.
David Duke is way too smart to do that.
Yeah.
He's way too smart to get trapped like that in a conversation. And so Alex's games are not going to work. But here's the other thing.
As transparent as they are.
And it might, this might just be because we have listened to so much of him and we have like a familiarity and David Duke is such a monster, but there's a kind, you're kind of pulling for Alex. Just cause in comparison.
Don't make me say that.
Well,
don't make me say
in
that.
In this conversation,
loud.
You're kind of hoping he's like, Alex, break through your conditioning.
I know.
Break through your programming.
I know.
About,
I'm rooting for Alex here.
Because what you hope is going to happen is that Alex Jones is going to come face to face with David Duke, who's saying the exact same shit that he says, but about hating Jews. Alex knows that hating Jews is dumb and based on bigotry.
Right.
And so he will, you just hope. That he will see this and be like, oh no, everything I think is wrong. Oh my God, I've been wrong this whole time. Have I been like him? Oh my God.
I wouldn't, that's not my hope. My hope for this interview is Alex gets mad. That's all I really want. Yeah. I want Alex to genuinely get angry and be like, you think you can hate the Jews for no reason? Like that kind of a thing. He's not gonna change he's already 20 years in.
Spoiler alert.
No.
Neither of us get our wish.
How can you not be angry? Alex is weak.
Well, I think
he's weak tea.
Alex tries to get a little bit crafty and it doesn't really work. I'll explain that later.
Yeah, Alex should not try and rely on his craftiness.
So
he's got to stick with his bread and butter, which is screaming like a lunatic.
Well, he can't. And I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay.
Alex is against this idea that Jews control everything, but he is for the idea that globalists control everything.
Naturally.
So he doesn't see a contradiction inherent there, and I'll let him explain why in this next clip.
I'm simply here really trying to have sophisticated thought. I'm not saying David Duke isn't sophisticated. I've just heard all this over and over again. And I've also experienced at the hands of the anti-Mason groups, the anti-Catholic groups, the anti-Jew groups, where they give just godlike superpowers to whoever they believe runs everything. And so, therefore, I'm Jewish because I've been successful.
You stupid.
Or I'm only successful because
man.
Jews tell me what to do and I'm on the hotline to Tel Aviv.
So, yeah, he's an idiot. He doesn't realize that he's using the exact same thing he's attacking to build up his globalist myth.
God damn it.
He is trapped. He should never have agreed to do this interview.
Imagine, okay, here's a thought experiment, mm-hmm. right? We take a transcript of this interview.
Right.
And we just transpose globalist and Jews.
Oh, man.
And then we transpose the names.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same conversation, isn't it?
No, it wouldn't be because, like, I don't believe any of the things David Duke is saying, and I think most of the facts he cites aren't facts, but he has a lot more information than Alex.
Okay.
He comes in with names, he comes in with actual pieces of tidbits, whereas Alex is mostly just yelling about, well, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
So in this next clip, did we do a good enough job of explaining that Alex is an idiot for attacking people who think Catholics run the world?
Are you kidding me, Alex? The fact that he said you ascribe superpowers to whomever it is you think is the enemy is like, Alex, you just want to shake him by the shoulders and be like, that's what you say about the globalists, you stupid fucker.
I'll remind you that in 2017, he allowed someone pretty much unchallenged on his show to say that the globalists have a Mars colony that they're kidnapping children and taking them to.
Yeah, godlike powers.
Yeah. So, Alex, you're dumb. You're real dumb. So, I told you that Alex couldn't start yelling at him.
Yes.
And there's a reason.
Okay.
They have clearly set up parameters for this conversation ahead of time. Alex Jones has made a lot of concessions to David Duke to have him come on the show. He said early in the interview, I don't have the clip of it, but he says, you agreed to come on the show if I'd be nice. And it's very clear that David Duke made time limit things. Like, I'll speak for 5 minutes, then you speak for 5 minutes. And the reason this is clear is because they bicker about it at least 12 times throughout the interview. David Duke makes petty comments about how, like, I need my time. Alex is like, I'm giving you your time. Like, all this shit. They end up fighting throughout the entire 2 hours, mostly about time.
It's the Republican debates all over again.
I did not have time to get all of the clips because I'm telling you, it's like 10 to 12 isolated, like, look, I'm letting you talk. Like,
they're
that sort
petulant
of thing.
Children.
Yeah, and but here is an example of that. Them arguing about the time and who's talking. And then Alex asks a question that he thinks is a gotcha question about abortion and Planned Parenthood. And he just doesn't realize that everything he's doing
is what he does
and is helping David Duke.
Right.
Like, listen to the way that David Duke answers this question and realize that Alex is the worst. He is the worst. He is the literal worst.
And then he didn't answer the question. I want you to answer this. I'll give you the floor for 10 minutes, David. But I want you to answer this question. You keep acting like there's no connection to Planned Parenthood and white supremacy and exterminist operations. That is going on. So how do you square up that behind the scenes, the Democratic Party are, I mean, a fellow Grand Dragon, Senator Byrd. The left accepts and loves him. They don't accept and love you. There's something else going on here is what I'm getting at. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you're giving me 10 minutes. I hope you hold to that because you did speak even over that. That's okay. And I'll be happy to go.
No, I just spoke six and a half minutes. Go ahead.
I got you. Whatever. My clock is different. That's okay, though.
Well, there was a break. Three and a half minute break.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever. But the point is that, and we can go into this. In fact, I'll go to the end of the program the next hour too, because you're right. I feel like it's the only way I can really get a clear exposition of all my positions. But here's the issue about that. First off, the KKK was not the author of any sort of Planned Parenthood. What I did, and I was in the House of Representatives, by the way, let me make something really clear to you so there's no misunderstanding. Not only have I spoken and been completely opposed to abortion, I also put my money where my mouth is. In the House of Representatives, I voted for the strongest anti-abortion law that's ever been passed by a legislative body in the United States of America. So it's really clear what I stand for.
Well, good job.
He just forced himself into a situation where he had to compliment David Duke.
Of course.
Alex is so bad at this. Why didn't he do any research? I bet he didn't even know David Duke was in the House of Representatives.
I didn't know David Duke was
in the
House of
Representatives. It's pretty fucked up.
David Duke was in the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
People elected David Duke.
Yeah.
And Grand Dragon.
Uh-huh.
To the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
At a certain point in America's history. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like too far of a long shot for the future, quite frankly.
It's almost like you have to go back as far as now to get another former KKK member inside the House of Representatives.
Yeah, maybe have...
or maybe noted racist and anti-Semite Jeff Sessions, who was in the Senate and is now leading our law enforcement.
Wow, Wikipedia lists David Duke's political affiliation as American Nazi Party before 1975. I don't know if that's true. Maybe that's not fair. I don't know. Anyway, he ran for president. That didn't work out.
Riveting. Riveting stuff here, reading the Wikipedia article slowly.
It turns out that he won a special election for a seat in the Louisiana House.
Okay.
House of Representatives representing Louisiana in 1989. That's fucked up. Even though it was a special election, still real fucked up.
Yeah. How long did he serve?
I can't imagine.
Not serve. How long did he fuck us?
I can't imagine it was long. So, like I said, the two men bicker a whole bunch about time stuff. And this clip...
Yeah, that was so passive-aggressive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was amazing.
And it goes on throughout the entire thing.
I
want to make
like
a super cut.
That was like... I remember I worked at a God camp when I was 14 for about a month.
Mm.
And that was every single dorm... After like day four is just like, you know, it's no big deal. You should stop leaving your sandals in the shower, but that's no problem.
No big deal.
Those are 12-year-olds, guys.
Very much.
You're acting like 12-year-olds.
Well, wait for this next clip.
Oh boy.
I mean, two doesn't really take care of the people that die and aren't able to reproduce or whatever.
You need 2.1.
Our people, give me my 10 minutes, please.
So David Duke is trying to talk about birth rates.
Why would you even say 2.1?
Well, David Duke's trying to talk about birth rates, and to be fair, Alex is interjecting, trying to be helpful. And David Duke's just like, fuck you, give me my time, you asshole. I love that.
Don't you dare interrupt me. Don't you dare interrupt me.
So here's the next one where they're bickering more about time.
Do we have really a fair playing field in this country when the same media that promotes the Jewish state of Israel is doing everything they can to destroy European Americans being a majority and really preserving our European American
Western Christian? Okay. Now listen, that's 10 minutes and I talked for 7 earlier. Coming up the next hour, I can't skip any more of these breaks, which I've been doing. And so we're going to have to go a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, take some phone calls, do some stuff like that. And I'm not criticizing you here, but the little debate tactic of constantly implying I'm not letting you talk. You've talked more than I have this hour, unless you count the ads as my time. And that's not my time. Those are ads on radio. So you're being able to make your points. You're not being censored. You're not being stopped. And so that's not a fair debating tactic to keep implying you're getting cut off. I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm trying to be nice.
Give me more time than O'Reilly. That's for sure.
Sure. Exactly. Well, there's always this criticism that I'm cutting people off. The truth is I let guests talk more than other shows. I might kind of rudely interject because I get excited and want to say something. I'm not polished. I don't want to be polished.
Certainly not polished.
Certainly not polished. Wow.
I love it. I love it.
Why do you say European American?
Can't well, like just, I said, it's because white.
Go back to Europe.
But if you say,
is that what you want?
It's just PR spin. Yeah. It's just masking the white element of it.
Because, European Americans.
Yeah,
yeah. White people.
Yeah.
White.
Right.
God, why?
You know what it
why
is?
Why do you get to fucking quote Orwell and not get Newspeak?
Right.
How do you not fucking get
there's something that to
the
that.
Main part?
Mm-hmm.
The main part is making language mean fucking nothing.
Yeah.
That's
a big
that
part
was
of it.
That was the trick that Orwell was really talking about there, is that once language has no fucking meaning,
mm-hmm.
you can say whatever you want.
True.
You can say whatever you want and people will believe you.
Yep.
There's no, like this just repeating on TV, these GOP fucks who are just like, oh, it's going to cover more people. What are you fucking doing? You can't say that.
God is my role model.
Yeah, you can't say that. You can't, like, how is it? How is it that, like, and his media criticisms are so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
When they're geared towards letting these people lie directly to our fucking faces.
And this show, I mean, Alex Jones' show is largely about people being lied to.
Yeah.
So
the whole thing.
The business model is lying to an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So. But then also the thing that I really dislike about that clip, what I don't dislike is them being petty as fuck about time.
That's
I love
fun.
It so much.
That's fun.
But the thing that is awful is that David Duke, one of the points that he's trying to make is that whites will no longer be a majority. And that's really scary to him. And there's an idea that white people are supposed to be the majority in our home country.
Yes,
as it were.
Our home country.
Right.
Yes. Our European Americans, our home country.
Well, I mean, sure, I'm sure he would say the same things about tons of countries in Europe. He does even say about, like, Sweden,
okay.
Various other countries that have Germanic stock,
all right,
what have
so
you.
So how about African Americans? This is their home country.
It's everyone's home country.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's kind of our stated objective.
Well, I mean, natives, you can have a long row to hoe to get them to be a majority.
Yeah.
I mean, the charm and the wonder of America, really, it should be that there never should be a majority.
Yeah.
It should be everyone is a minority. And yeah, we're all cool with it.
That's kind of the big dream of the United States.
Well, it's a nightmare to David Duke.
Of course.
And
what does he think? Why do you think, like...
Because it's a Jewish plot.
Right. But why are you so afraid of not being the majority anymore?
Because I think he thinks that once we become a minority, then everyone's going to get payback for all the shit we've done.
Yeah, that's the real fear. The real fear of white nationalists is we're going to get what's coming to us.
Well, I think that's not true. I think that's
not
us.
We.
No, but I think that's us projecting our minds into white nationalists.
I think that has to be the subconscious fear.
I would argue that maybe it's not fear that motivates primarily. It's we need the majority so we can kick their ass in case we need to. I think they might have a more proactive, angry approach to it, whereas we have a we did a lot of bad shit in the past kind of approach.
Yeah, but fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to the dark side.
No, they are totally afraid. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It has to be that. Like, there has to be a subconscious awareness, because why else would you insist endlessly that white people have never done anything wrong and that racism is purely a function of the Jews controlling us their plot to do all of this shit?
David Duke would say that white people have done wrong things in the past, but the white people that have done wrong things
are dead.
No, no, they were Gentile collaborators with the Jewish power.
Do you mean like globalist collaborators?
I would, yeah, I guess so.
It's the same fucking shit.
Yeah, it's absolutely the same thing.
But there has to be that subconscious knowledge, which is why they insist so endlessly that there isn't anything that we should be blamed for.
Right.
That there is, so that fear of losing the majority has to be purely because they think violence is going to be visited upon them. And that means that they think it's revenge. And that means that if it's revenge, they are aware that there's shit to be revenged upon.
Of course they're aware there's shit to be revenged upon. Alex talks all the time about how he doesn't want to be made to feel guilt by people expressing their life.
Exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't want to hear black people stand up for themselves making me feel guilty.
Yeah.
I don't want gays being out in public making me feel guilty and weird. That's just guilt. Because of an awareness of past wrongs.
Right.
So this next clip, Jordan. I have a very conflicted feelings about this next clip. And here's why. I don't think that it's ever necessarily wrong to be rude to David Duke. But Alex Jones is pretty rude in this next clip. And I think it's inappropriate.
No. Punch Richard Spencer. Punch David Duke. Everybody gets one.
I think it's wrong because of the host-guest dynamic. And... you know, even if it's David Duke, he's still a guest on your show.
Okay.
And he doesn't deserve this kind of rudeness based on how he's treated Alex in the interview.
All right. Now, here is the game here. I'm going to listen to the level of rudeness, and I will measure it against what I think would possibly be my level of rudeness to David Duke.
I think you
So I understand, Dan, that you think this is rude within the host guest scenario.
All right.
Now let's just put it into my situation.
All right, here you go.
Well, David Duke, the PhD in history and former, is it Grand Wizard or?
You Grand fucking Dragon, know.
Grand Cyclops. I'm sorry. I think that's so funny. David Duke, I'm going to give you the floor here for the next 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to go to break, come back, get into a whole bunch of questions, other issues you want to cover, where you think the world's going, the economy. But explain to me, and I mean this seriously, where did all this dragon, goblin, cyclops stuff come from? And were you a goblin cyclops before you were a dragon?
No, never was a goblin, never was a cyclops.
I think that's a little rude.
What are you fucking talking about?
I think it's a little rude.
What are you fucking talking
about? He's trying to mock him because of the names of KKK positions.
Yeah. Do you know that was the point of the Superman radio serial in the 50s?
Right. But look,
I would mock him to his fucking face.
I get that. I believe, though.
Dan, you were the Grand Dragon of the KKK.
I was not.
Tell me, how were your scales? Did you have those surgically implanted, or?
Oh, you're talking literal dragon.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Is your belly the weak spot? Should I, if I were to shoot an arrow into, because if we're going by, like, and first of all, let's start at the beginning. What type of dragon would you consider yourself to be? Are we talking about a Lord of the Rings dragon, a Tolkien dragon?
You're about to learn about fire breath.
Are we talking about a Japanese dragon or a Chinese dragon? Are there wings there? Are we talking about a perhaps gargoyle situation? David Duke, Grand Dragon, what type of dragon are you?
Honestly, I think that's less rude. Honestly, I think that's a little less rude than what Alex said. And I mean, look, I'm not here to stand up for David Duke or tell you that he deserves better treatment than that.
No.
But it is kind of like, if you have someone on your show that you've clearly made concessions for, like he's clearly been like, okay, you get 5 minutes, I get 5 minutes. We'll set an arrangement that is clearly unpleasant to me as a broadcaster mm-hmm. because I want you on my show that badly.
Right.
It seems like the wrong kind of thing to do to, you know, be reductive and insulting about
right.
something. Because they've already talked about this a little bit. I cut it out, but
right.
he talked about how, like, yeah, I was in the KKK when I was younger, and I realized that the organization, I couldn't control the actions of all the other members of it, mm-hmm. and so I decided to go and do something that I could be in complete control of.
Mm-hmm.
And he does renounce the idea that, you know, like lynchings and stuff like that, which is great.
I'm glad he renounced
Good
that.
On you.
I would pull up my computer,
mm-hmm.
and I would be like, David Duke, I'm going to show you something, and I want you to rate this on a scale of how often you jerk off to it. And it would purely be black cuck porn. That's
okay.
all I would show him for the entire interview.
That'd be a good
and
interview.
And he'd be like, he's got to walk away. And I'd be like, no. We agreed to this beforehand.
You know what I would do? Here would be my angle.
What was your angle on
I would being? Pretend that he was a grand drag on, and he was a rapper from the Rough Riders crew. He was a much forgotten okay. rapper from DMX's all right, all crew.
Right, all right.
I can't remember any drag on songs.
Duke,
that's too
Mr.
bad.
David Duke,
mm-hmm.
do you know if X gonna give it to you?
X is gonna give it to you. Mr. Duke, first you stop, then you drop, and then if I'm correct, you shut them down, open up shop?
There we go.
Oh, no. That's a Rough Riders roll. So this next clip.
Oh, fuck David Duke. I hope he dies.
We've been talking a bit about the various things that are clear points of agreement between Alex Jones and David Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes another one that we both are going to disagree with.
Americans always respected and loved Robert E. Lee. Today he's being called a traitor. He wasn't a traitor. If he's a traitor, then Thomas Jefferson was a traitor. George
How
Washington was a traitor.
The fuck
and the attack on Southern heritage
not
is nothing more than an attack
traitor?
On entire European heritage, because now they're talking
How
about taking down
possible?
Statues of Thomas Jefferson, who gave us our Bill of Rights. They talk about taking George Washington's name off public schools. They did that in New Orleans, saying that he was unworthy because he had slaves. Well, half of the great heroes of the entire Third World are slaveholders, including an awful lot of Jewish heroes were slaveholders. Just read about Jewish history. The hypocrisy is unbelievable in this country.
Well, that's certainly true. Let me interject this.
Oh, you said okay, I'll interject. But now we're
going into discussion.
So there's some more bickering about time there at
in
the end.
In this hour we're going to discussion. Was there any previous discussion about that?
No.
in this hour, go fuck yourself. We're going
to
talk.
I didn't take the clip of this, but there's a really funny point when they're about to go to calls. And David Duke is like, yeah, we can take calls and then maybe each of us gets a minute to respond. We can put it on the timer. And Alex is like, we're just going to talk. I don't care.
Yeah.
Duke. He's like, I don't want to fight about this. Like, Alex is getting super flustered because, like, right there, that fits perfectly into Alex's entire, they're trying to ban the Confederate flag. The Confederacy was actually not that bad. The Civil War wasn't about slavery narratives.
Right.
They match up perfectly on that, too. And Alex, at this point, is getting incredibly flustered by the fact that, like, shit, this guy has more information than me. He sounds smarter than me. He's way more put together than me. He is dancing circles around me, making the same arguments as me, but just saying that it's Jews. And
right.
I don't really have a good argument to come back against that with.
Right.
I do. Me personally. Dan, I do. I could go against... I would never debate David Duke, though. Never. Never.
I would scream in his face.
Yeah.
And show him cuck porn. That's what I would do.
I would talk about drag
I would
on.
Show him endless cuckold porn. This is something I'm becoming more and more convinced of. The worst thing that the North did was go to war with the South. If they had just let them secede,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a failed state so fast.
Yeah, probably.
Now, the problem there is, of course, more people would have been in slavery for a much longer time. So
it's true.
I don't know, but this idea that Robert E. Lee was an American hero
mm-hmm.
is so fucking stupid.
Well, it's the same
so
thing that Trump's
stupid.
Pulling with Andrew Jackson now about how he was a great
no
president.
One,
and...
No one in the Civil War was an American hero. There were no heroes in a war where the most Americans died.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a hero situation.
No. I would agree with that. Yeah, I don't know,
that
man.
That was a tragedy.
Yeah.
That was the fucking Iliad all over again. There was no good team. Go back through the Iliad in your mind real quick.
Patroclus was pretty cool.
Who you got, huh?
I mean, Ajax was cool. There's some good dudes among the Greeks.
Yeah.
But then
fighting a war.
But then Hector was a pretty awesome dude too.
Yeah.
He just happened to be on the side of Troy. They were at the whim of the gods and forced to fight each other in a war that neither really wanted to be fighting but had to.
Yeah.
And in the same way that Alex thinks the globalists forced us into the Civil War, quite frankly.
Have we considered the possibility that there are, that the Greek pantheon still controls us?
What if
the Greeks nailed it?
I've thought about it.
I've thought about it constantly.
I mean, it would make sense. How nothing makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there are warring factions of gods that are just using us for entertainment.
Right?
Yeah.
That to me makes the most sense. The gods are immortal. What would you do if you were immortal?
Lay low
eventually,
for centuries.
Eventually, you'd get bored.
Right.
There's only so much you can do. That was the Greek pantheon. They were just fucking bored, and they made people fight for their amusement. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense of the world we live in.
Somewhat.
Some kind of monotheistic situation where God knows everything and is everywhere and is controlling everything makes it seem like there's one dude who is just the biggest fucking dick.
Yeah.
Where if you're dealing with the gods, it's just like, they got nothing else to do.
And they're petty.
Yeah.
You know? They have human characteristics.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of that.
Let's get to the bottom of this. I am putting out a bounty.
Okay.
For $10,000. If you have any information, I do not have any money.
Give us a picture of Zeus.
Yeah, I have no money.
So,
email me a picture of Zeus.
Okay. it'll be as real as the picture of cows with tits. So this next clip, Alex is trying to rebuff the idea that it's Jewish supremacy that is the problem with the world. It's actually globalists.
And globalists have no race.
Right. So he brings up, John P. Holdren, the book, Eco-Science, that we discussed on a past episode.
Yep.
He brings it up to lie about how it's about putting stuff in the water.
Of course.
And he wants to ask David Duke, are these Jews?
And those people were white.
Yeah, so here's that.
It's fine, David. People can go to davidduke.com and see your videos and your talking points and the things you talk about. And I've heard most of this from other people of your ilk. I'm really trying to understand, though, your worldview on things and where you see things going. Before we go any further, I have a book here written by Paul R. Ehrlich, Ann H. Ehrlich, John P. Holdren, and I think those folks are Gentiles. One of them's the White House science czar, Population Resources Environment. They talk about putting fluoride in the water to reduce fertility of everybody and to reduce IQ. And I guess you might think I'm a conspiracy theorist for talking about that.
I do, because that's not what they talk about in the book. We went over that in great detail, and it's fun. I cut it out because it's way too long, but David Duke's response is, no, those are Jews.
Oh, that was his response?
Yeah, and Alex has nothing.
Just those were Jews?
Yeah, and Alex can't respond to that.
He should have looked up whether or not they were Jews. That would have been a very simple response.
Well, David Duke is like, the Ehrlichs, those are Jewish people. I don't know about John Holdren. And so at that point, because Alex doesn't rebut it or have any information, that's the fact that stands on the show. Alex is losing every single point that is being, like, he keeps giving softball serves, thinking he's spiking.
Right.
It's insane. He's doing a terrible job and letting basically a white supremacist, anti-Semite convert people who listened to Alex Jones to his cause.
He even plugged his fucking website.
But he did it dismissively.
Yeah, but still.
But the dismissiveness was because you can see it in his face. There's a lot of visual stuff in this. He's defeated. Alex Jones is like, oh, God. Right. You can see he's just like, oh, no. He knows what's happening as it's happening.
Yeah.
And because earlier in the episode, David Duke said, I'll stay with you for an hour. I'll stay. Alex can't kick him off the air without being like, I want out of this.
Yeah.
So he's stuck.
Yeah.
It's insane.
The only way Alex wins is if he gets really, really angry and kicks him off the show. And he can't do that.
Because he's making the same arguments that Alex does, but saying Jew.
Yep.
So here's Alex's summation of the interview so far.
The reason he is such a bad interviewer is because if you come on his show.
No. I gotta stop you. It's because he doesn't know anything.
That's what I'm saying. If you come on his show, you're prepared.
Yeah.
If you're Alex Jones, you're like, I got this. Fly by with the seat of my pants. I don't need to do any research.
I'm teleprompter free. I never look anything up.
Exactly.
I just yell and people love it.
Yeah.
Whereas David Duke is used to being attacked for everything he says. And so while he's wrong and citing things like Joel Stein is a serious columnist.
Right.
You know, using that as a kind of like example of the kind of things he cites, he still has information and he still has like, I can defend myself against attacks.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Anyway, this next clip is really funny because Alex sums up how he feels about the interview so far. And
David Duke is right there.
He's on the phone. But Alex Jones uses an expression I use very frequently.
I'd give this interview a B right now, and you know, maybe I'm not doing the best job myself, but I just don't want to get stuck on petty stuff. I'm trying to have a real thought-provoking discussion and debate with you. Let me ask you this question. Looking out into the future, where do you see the world in 10, 20, 30 years if these forces you say that are running things are successful versus the type of world that you, as a leader, would like to see? Because it's true that what they call anti-Semitism is on the rise worldwide.
So there's a real...
You're fucking helping, Alex.
Well, that's one thing that's really important. First, he says what is called anti-Semitism, which is slightly dismissive. But then second, he knows that there is a rising tide of white supremacy and anti-Semitism that is growing in the world. He can't feign ignorance. In the same way that we found that clip where he talks about knowing that Trump is mob connected in 2015, now we have evidence in 2015 that he's keenly aware that there is a growth that's happening in bigot communities.
Even though he insists that the racism is still directed towards white people.
Well, he would maybe say that, I mean, he doesn't...
The globalists are influencing and it's a false flag.
And the bigotry...
The rising tide of anti-Semitism is just to hide the fact that they're dividing us and conquering.
Right, and the anti-Semitism and bigotry is really just a response in white people foolishly falling for globalist tricks or something like that. It's all stupid.
Fucking
but
goddamn it,
literally Alex. Every single time someone asks me how something's going, I give it a B. That's literally my dismissive answer when I don't want to talk about stuff. So Alex being like, I give this interview a B.
I love
me
that.
Too, my man. Me too. I give it a B.
I would not give it a B.
No.
I would rate this far lower, Alex.
Yeah, this is
Alex, your performance, very much a D.
This is a gentleman's D. Yeah, which is an F.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even give you a 30-70 grade
there. We might get a non-complete.
Yeah.
You didn't finish the assignment. So in this next clip, like I've been saying, they are very similar in terms of their philosophies. David Duke is going to say some stuff and really just imagine that he's saying globalist instead of Jews. I think it makes things pretty clear.
The real problem we have is not the ISIS threat. We wouldn't even have the ISIS threat. Except the fact that organized Jews were the point men for the propaganda and the direct organizations and the control of the political process that literally opened our borders.
How much does that sound like Alex? Like, especially that last part.
Yep.
That's literally stuff that he would say.
Yeah.
The globalists have opened our borders. They've left us open to attack. ISIS isn't really a problem. It's the globalists have done this to us.
Right.
It's literally the same shit he says. It's nuts.
David Duke really hates Jews.
A lot.
How do you hate? What? Like, I love that line, Jews stick together, and it's like, yeah, because of you.
Yeah.
they have been under attack for all the time.
Yeah, history has shown they might need to help each other. So, but the other thing I want to make clear is that David Duke tries to also play this game where he's like, not all Jews are bad. But
they've just been propagandized.
And all Jewish organizations are Jewish supremacist organizations. All the banks are run by Jewish supremacists. All of the, every, I mean, essentially it comes down to every liberal leaning organization.
Of course.
Has Jewish supremacy at its core, which is what Alex would say about globalists. All liberal organizations are basically just globalists.
I didn't know the, so I try my best to avoid these people. Very hard.
Right.
Because of perhaps the response that you guys have seen.
Yeah. You're fluctuating between extreme anger and just staring at me.
I'm not doing great.
No.
You're not giving me.
I give you a B.
All right. You get 1 point again for that.
Yes.
All right. You're back to zero.
Oh, man.
How can you think that?
I don't know.
I can't. I've never, ever experienced. Or even, like, read any kind of Jewish supremacist things, except in the imagination of these fucking assholes.
Well, I think...
Like, has he denied the Holocaust? Because it seems like he's...
Alex or David Duke?
David Duke. It seems like he's on that...
He's in the intellectual Holocaust denial tip. Like, there were no gas chambers, not 6 million were killed... And why don't we talk about all the other people who were killed? That sort of thing. That's sort of his camp.
Right. I mean,
it's still Holocaust denial, but it's not like it didn't happen.
Yeah. Like what, 18 million Russians?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. Hitler was bad, but why do we got to talk about the Jews all the time? No proof of those gas chambers. None.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah.
How do you become such a monster?
I think that you grow up in a very bad environment.
Join the KKK.
When you're 18. He said he joined really young, joining the Klan. If you're in a situation where joining the Klan is a possibility.
A viable option.
That means you're not in a great place to begin with.
That's true.
So that sort of environment breeds a certain type of mindset. And then I would say that although David Duke is high functioning, he's still not really all that smart.
No.
And in the same way that Alex doesn't understand the things he reads, thinks that John Holdren's textbook is advocating for putting stuff in the water.
Right.
David Duke has probably read a bunch of histories and thought that there was something nefarious in it when there wasn't. So I think that that's probably a combination of those things.
That's such a terrifying argument that... That product of your environment situation.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a terrifying thing because that forces you to look at yourself and think, what would I do?
There but the grace of God,
right?
Go I.
Could that be me?
Mm-hmm.
So much as, like, and I think I have a better case for saying that I would be against it because I already grew up in a cult.
Right.
So I've got very much a, I already got out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's entirely possible that could be fucking any one of us, except for a black person, because they're not going to become a grand dragon in the KKK.
No, but you could make the argument they could end up in some sort of like militant black nationalist group.
Yeah.
There are certainly those groups out there.
No, of course.
I don't know.
And I would rather join them.
Sure. I think that it's a complicated... equation, because I don't think anything is strictly
nature,
the environment.
Versus nurture.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you can just be born David Duke. You can be born with the potential to be David Duke.
Yeah.
The surroundings that could lead to a David Duke.
Yeah.
But then you gotta do a lot of that work on your own.
Yeah, you have to be a certain kind of stupid.
Yeah.
A certain kind of like crafty stupid.
Yeah.
As opposed to any kind of actual intelligence, it is a base cunning.
You know what would be fascinating to me? Like, because I would never do this, and I'm not going to.
Join the KKK?
Yep. You got it. No. No matter how much people donated to this show, I would never do this, so don't even suggest it.
Okay.
But David Duke has his own radio show. And I bet if we listened to it as much as we listened to Alex, we would find that as a 10-year-old, he was trapped under a house inhaling termite fumes. I guarantee if he's as loose with his language on his radio show,
as
he would
on...
reveal some sort of thing from his past that makes everything make sense.
Yeah.
I think that there's probably something like that. He has some sort of brain damage, too, quite frankly.
When Alex gets taken down, we're just going to go on, like...
Not David Duke. I couldn't listen to him for more than I already have.
Yeah, I was going to say, now that I think about it, I'm this close to quitting the show in the middle of this.
We've only got a little bit left to go, and then we'll never have to deal with him ever again.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, look...
I mean, his name is fucking David!
Alex brings
Does
that up.
Does he not get that?
Alex brings that up, and his response is, I didn't choose what my name was. My parents named me.
Well, change it.
That is an option.
You fucking piece of garbage. You fucking pile of shit, David Duke.
So,
fuck you.
Yeah. But I'm still lost in thought about what we would do if Alex gets taken down. I mean, there's still...
Oh, watch cuckold porn. Oh,
okay. There's still years of his show we can go through, so we're at no loss for... this
we
show
just,
can continue.
We just take a hard pivot to reviewing porn.
I give it a B.
That's our review show?
Yeah.
I give it a B.
For buttholes.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones says something that I very strongly disagree with.
Well, where I stand is clear. I'm against totalitarianism, fascism, communism, socialism. Political correct is a clear and present tyranny. And 50 times the threat to liberty of some of the more modern white-based fascist movements in this country.
Nope.
And it's taking over, and it is bizarre how flamingly corrupt it is. You will not say boy and girl. You will do as we say. I mean, this is like being in a super Jim Jones cult or something.
So this clip isn't done, but I want to butt in here because Alex is very wrong. White-based fascist organizations are an incredibly serious threat right now. And if he wants to make the argument that...
By far the number one perpetrator of terrorism.
Yep, and if you want to make the argument that PC stuff is a problem, and like you were saying about 1984, the idea of making language meaningless, there's an interesting argument to be had there. But Alex's examples that he brings up are always lies. And this one is that same lie about you can't say boy or girl, you have to say purple penguins.
Yeah.
This is that story out of Nebraska where it's just there was an organization that suggested to teachers that if you're going to be arbitrarily calling groups of children, don't gender the terms you use.
Right.
Because you never know, you could offend somebody. Yeah. And it doesn't say... He tries to present it like they're outlawing boys and girls.
Yeah.
That's not the truth of it at all. So he's basing his letting white fascist groups off the hook because how much scarier PC culture is on lies about this ascent of PC culture.
Right.
It's fucking stupid and very dangerous.
And it just gets crazier and more vitriolic and more dumbed down and more arrogant. And you can see as the left finally reaches their goals, they are revealing that they do want a great tyranny in this country.
Huh.
But I see the people that obsess over who runs things only obsessing over that, never about taking our country and our world back. David Duke's our guest, and, you know...
That's the...
I'm sitting here talking to him, and it's just surreal.
I bet.
Because he's a smart guy, and he's sitting there agreeing where we can agree on things and disagreeing on others. But it's kind of giving me a headache.
And you know why it's giving him a headache? He's fucked.
Yeah.
He can see it. He's getting a headache because he's like, ah, god damn it. Oh no.
I've been defeated by somebody with more base cunning than I have.
Yeah, and
I think that right there is something that I at the very least haven't heard up until this point.
What?
In this context.
What do you mean?
That idea of people are talking about who owns things. Or who runs things, as opposed to taking our country back.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is that, especially at this time that we're covering this, that, to me, is like the moment Trump starts saying, we're going to take the country back.
Yeah.
That is the where they dovetail together.
It could be.
Because once,
I mean, that definitely seems like it would be a strong motivator.
Yeah. So you brought up political correctness.
I didn't. Alex did.
I mean, in the context of Orwell and whether or not there's an interesting argument to be made there. And I would actually go in a different direction.
Okay.
I think one of the big things that political correctness does is try and accurately define what a word means.
Uh-huh.
Like, because of that additional connotation to so many words, like tranny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what your base definition of tranny is if you're a good person, or if you're...
It means a car's transmission.
Or, yeah. Or if you're just a unaware person who's using the word without malice, like I did.
Right.
Right? To you, it just means this person.
Right.
But if you are one of the many people who have really, really hurt transgender people, you use the word tranny. And to you, yes, it means transgender person.
Right.
But what it means is victim.
Inhuman.
Somebody who I am going to, yeah. And human.
Yeah.
So when you're defining, so when you talk about political correctness, you're really just adding the connotation to the word and adding that into the definition.
I agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
But I think the way I was approaching it is more the idea of what the other side would say. And like the premise of the other side.
I can see that.
And there is when I say there's a discussion to be had, I more mean that like, that's something I'd entertain.
Oh, yeah. As far as a communication, I get you.
If there were someone trying to make that argument, we could have that conversation.
Right.
I wouldn't agree with them, but I'm not going to be like, fuck you, you're an idiot.
Right.
Or anything like that.
Right.
I wouldn't even say that to most people I strongly do. If I were talking to Alex, I wouldn't say that to his face. Until
I would.
I'd record it secretly, play it on this podcast, and then we could laugh about how much of an idiot he was. In person, I'd be very polite.
I don't know. I don't know if I genuinely have the balls to do what I say I would do.
Probably not.
Like in Alex's, I don't know, man. I'm very angry.
Yeah, but you'd need to be worked up into a frenzy, probably.
Do you not know how easy that is?
I've noticed.
There's such a low bar to frenzy, and then also a low bar to get away from frenzy.
3 grams of coffee and a little bit of Duke,
and it's over.
So this next clip,
I got to start taking Brain Force.
You got to mellow you out.
Yeah, exactly.
And Prostagard. In this next clip, David Duke very literally makes an argument that Alex will use in the future. And it is just another complete mirroring of the two men.
European Americans and European Canadians and Europeans.
White people.
Are literally being genocide. The real threat. There's no threat to the yellow people, the Chinese people. They have 1.3 billion of them. There's going to be 1.3 billion Africans. It's more than Europeans in the world, while Europe and America and white countries are being declined. And I'm telling you, it's not supremacism. It's not racism and hatred to defend yourself from predators. And it, as you said earlier in the show, if a tribe is being attacked by another tribe and that tribe wants to, you know, kidnap all the women, rape all the women, kill the kids,
wow,
take over, put them into slavery, whatever, that tribe has the moral right to defend themselves. And that's what I'm talking about here. Our people are facing real genocide. We're facing loss of our own countries. And most Americans watching this broadcast right now, I'm absolutely sure you're going to have to figure out whether you agree or not.
I don't.
You know that the country of our forefathers is being totally rotted out. You know that we're losing our heritage, our values, our traditions. You go into the stores, you go into the communities of our society, you don't even look like you belong anymore. You go in with stares of hatred against you.
I would posit that maybe you get stares of hatred because you're a very famous bigot.
Yeah.
maybe publicly, people look at you with hatred because of the things you've said and embodied. But all that is just, that's fucking Alex right there.
That is word for word what Alex has said.
The argument about...
And even Alex hasn't even couched it behind European Americans. He's just said white people.
The argument about tribes and like if a neighboring tribe is coming in, you got to kill them. That sort of stuff. He's made that argument very literally. And then all the stuff about this country is not like our forefathers' country.
Yeah.
It's not our heritage. Alex uses terms like birthright and providence and stuff like that. It's just synonymous. They're making the same points, the same vision, the same arguments, with the only caveat between them being, what do we call the bad guys?
Yeah. It's so It's so amazing to me, this idea that they want to own America's values. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I see so often with all of these people. It's always, it's not our values.
Uh-huh.
The America's values, which is such a, like, regard, and that's the thing. To me, that is America. Regardless of our history, which has been nightmarish.
It's trouble.
All too often.
Yeah.
The values were there from the beginning. That value, even if it was not applied at the beginning, which it most certainly wasn't.
Not a chance.
But that value of all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
That's America's value
to
me.
And our rights are intrinsic. They aren't given by the government.
Exactly.
We all deserve dignity and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. All those things are really great ideals.
Right. That's the value.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people have, that's why America has been for so long that kind of beacon of, like, I'm going to go to America because I've been oppressed here.
Yeah.
Because I think America is where I finally am going to get a fair shake. Mm-hmm. It's because of that value.
Yeah.
Now, the heritage, our heritage is fuck over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That might be true. But the idea that they get to control our values, or at least they get to fucking talk about them.
They seem to have ownership of that space, mm-hmm. as they say in the business world. It's really fucked up. And, I mean, by this point, Alex's headache is probably getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
You can see him just being flustered and being like, I do recognize those words as things I'm going to say in the near future.
Yep.
It's insane.
I love what you're talking about. I hate the way you say it, but I love what you're saying.
I will probably disavow that I agree with anything you say. I will say I hate David Duke. He's a bigot.
I'm going to say word for word, and that is word for word.
Now, you need to put the mic down for this one, because at this point, Alex asks David Duke straight up, would the world be a better place without Jews?
Nope. Do not play this clip.
You need to hear it.
All right, well, you've already said that. Let me ask another question and then go to some phone calls here.
Sure.
Look, humans have acted the same in every society. Are you saying all these problems wouldn't be here if Jews never existed?
I think absolutely these problems wouldn't be here, except for the fact not because they existed, but because we let them take over. But they didn't do it openly. They didn't say, look, we're Jews and we're going to control your society. They did it by deceit. And even an intelligent man, if somebody slips poison in his food, he can be killed. And that's exactly what they did with us.
That's terrible. That is just terrible. It's absurd that Alex is letting him say these things on the show. You can pick the mic back up now. Sorry. Oh, boy. Silent treatment?
I'm trying.
Yeah, that's
trying real hard.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm trying real hard here.
I mean, to be fair, he's not advocating for killing all Jews or anything like that, but he is saying that our problems would not exist.
That's the narrative.
If they all...
Jews are deceitful. They're tricksters.
And they're
merchants. Well, they're that whole...
Money lenders.
Yeah, exactly.
Implied inside that statement that he's making, there is a sense of inevitability that they will try and lie to us to take over.
Yeah.
And so even though he's saying, I'm not saying that the world would be a better place if Jews weren't around, I'm saying that inevitably they're going to get sneaky. And so, yeah, obviously they shouldn't be around.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really bad. And the fact that Alex...
Because white people are just shining beacons of virtue.
Totally. Never lied.
Never.
And to...
No deceitful white person has ever lied and colluded with a foreign power to take over.
Yikes.
They're taking over our country.
News breaking, probably as we record this podcast.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, Alex, like I said earlier, I'm not sure if it's wrong to have David Duke on your show. I don't know. It is very wrong to allow him to say stuff like that and not challenge it and not be competent in your rebuttal. And Alex is not. He is absolutely not. He allows David Duke to get away with saying these things. And if you want any kind of estimation of how bad Alex is losing, listen to this. They end up taking calls. This is the first caller that calls in. David Duke is defending himself a little bit. And then they take the first call, you'll see.
I don't say, I've never said we should go out and start killing black people or anything like that, like Nation of Islam has said. So that's just not really accurate.
Okay, I think.
So listen,
it's a simplification. I'm saying Louis Faircon says a lot of the same stuff you say.
Well, he says some things I agree, and I agree with any black person that wants to preserve their own heritage. I will come on Overdrive. I'm willing to spend whatever time. We have a lot more to discuss, so let's do it. I'm ready to go.
Well, we got
to
go to these calls, and I've got meetings, and I got to run this place and nightly news, so maybe we can go 20 minutes.
I want you to go. I want you to go real bad.
I haven't taken a single call. Let me take some calls.
Yeah, let's go to Deutschland.
Fuck you, David Duke.
Let's talk to Eric from Germany via Skype. You're on the air with David Duke. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, it's a really interesting conversation and dialogue between you two. It's been fascinating. Yeah, yeah. In the past year,
the United States
population, 330 million, took on about 100,000 illegal immigrants. Frau Merkel this year said that Germany, population of 80 million, can take on 400,000 people from North Africa and the Middle East. I'm wondering what Dr. Duke thinks about this. And I'm also would love to hear his opinion about Vladimir Putin. And lastly, Alex, I love you, man. I listen to you every day. You rant about being anti-political correctness. I hate political correctness. But the past hour and a half, you've been super politically correct. And so I just wanted to say that.
Reed.
Well, look, I appreciate Alex Jones having me on. And I really do. And it took a courageous act on his part.
The power balance has entirely flipped.
Yep.
His own callers are turning on him in favor of David Duke because
he has an out and out said white supremacist thing.
Well, Alex can't defend, like he can't stand up in this argument because it's abundantly clear that the only line of demarcation between them is that David Duke is willing to say what he means and Alex isn't.
Right.
Alex
still has to imply it.
Alex is too caught up in dog whistly language that this caller is interpreting as PC.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But
I think that is their definition of PC now.
Possibly.
They're, for real, they are, well, you can see it with fucking Trump.
Mm.
The real supporters are out and out. I want you to say white people are better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of Trump's whole campaign was yelling about they won't say radical Islamic terror.
Yeah.
Say the words.
Yeah.
Say the words.
Right.
And, you know, that's not...
Stop being politically correct and saying things like terrorists or, you know, people who we've murdered their families. Ugh.
It's not great. And you can see in that clip, like I said, the power balance is flipped. And the caller, the way he presents things, first of all, that becomes Alex Jones's, like, it's a straight mirror of his narrative.
Yeah.
That all of these invading immigrants are taking places in our civilizations they shouldn't have. So the caller is mirroring and ahead of Alex's narrative a little bit.
And David is so magnanimous.
Yeah.
He's so like, listen, I am so grateful to Alex.
Yep.
I am so happy that Alex would do this.
That's his way of cucking him out.
Yeah, which is very much like, I'm glad Alex let me come on his show and beat him like a bitch.
Yeah, I've completely destroyed you on your own show. Now here's a nice little pat on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a good boy.
Yeah.
So at this point, I don't have any more clips of what happens because it's a mess. But Alex tries a different approach because he has failed. So
right. I give him a B.
He has a Jewish employee.
Oh, no.
So he brings him out.
God damn it. If this Jewish employee is like, I like what David Duke is saying, I'm going to be real mad.
No, but I think Alex thinks that like David Duke is literally afraid of Jews because he brings him out to make some points about Jekyll Island and about the Federal Reserve Bank and stuff like that. The big point that he tries to make is that like, not all the people who met at Jekyll Island were Jews. People who ran all the big six banks weren't necessarily all Jews. And it's not a successful line of argument. But you can see that Alex is like, I can't win this. I'm going to bring in hired help.
Yeah.
And so he tries to get and
he brings in yet another unprepared person.
Yep. Who actually does a better job at least saying facts than Alex does. But he still ends up looking like a fool. Because you can't spar with David Duke and come out looking good. It doesn't work. He brings you down to whatever level he's in. And if you already agree in principle with the things he's saying, you can't win at all. And no. You don't want to win.
No.
So
that's one of the things that I think about when we talk about like Jakari Jackson or this guy.
Mm.
Like, how do you not get that he's a massive bigot? Like, is it just, like, is it a gig? Is it just like, is it like a pterodactyl in fucking the Flintstones where like, it's a living? Like, what is that?
I think a part of it might be pretty strong contracts. I think you might sign a 2-year contract or something like that. That's very difficult to get out of. I think also people, I notice a trend of very young people.
Right.
Owen Schroyer is like, he was in his early 20s when he started.
Right.
Leanne McAdoo can't be much older than that when she started. Rob Dew looks much younger than he is. He was in his 30s. David Knight's just an idiot. Jakari Jackson was under 30. I think that people think that there's an opportunity to be had here, and we're doing journalism. So they sign a contract, get in, realize, fuck, this has completely ruined my chances.
Yeah.
There's no way I could get a job anywhere else.
Yeah.
And maybe they just assimilate a little bit. You know how whenever you're at a job that you're doing and there's a lot of negative things about it, you just kind of acclimate to it, and you're like, eh, like the bird.
Right.
It's a living.
Right.
Eventually you start to like blind yourself to all the shit that you don't like.
Right. Or like, just filter it out.
Or you go native. I think some people start to, I mean, Alex is, for all his problems, which are many, he is pretty,
which are infinite.
He is funny sometimes. And I bet off air, there's moments when he's pretty nice. And if you're a young journalist, a young aspiring journalist, it probably would feel pretty good to have his approval. Maybe.
Yeah.
There are, I mean, you can't.
My theory
You can't turn a media operation. You can't create something like that without having some sort of charismatic pull with people.
Right.
And I'm sure Alex knows how to manipulate people pretty decently.
Well, immediately following the crash in 2007, as we all know, is very tough for young people to find jobs.
Sure.
And, I mean, you're fresh out of college. You got a lot of college loans to pay. You see this InfoWars gig. You don't really know too much about it. And you're like, hey, man, I got to get work. And this is open.
Well,
because of course it's open.
But you're also, I mean, we both are discounting the fact that a lot of people do believe what Alex says.
Yeah, that's true.
And don't think that it's bigoted. Because he pays lip service to, we all bleed red blood.
Right.
That sort of stuff, not taking into account how his actions are very different and how he covers things are very different. Like, if there was criticism of an all-black sorority, he never would have said the sort of stuff that he said.
Right.
He wouldn't care. That wouldn't be on his radar. He's talking about it because it's defending white people.
Yeah.
That's perfectly encapsulation of how his coverage works.
Yeah.
But if you're already on board with the info war, you might not see that.
Right.
You might just be like, oh, yeah, it's another story about liberals run amok.
Mm.
Maybe you can trick yourself.
Maybe.
So Alex loses.
Like how plenty of people trick themselves into believing that the Merchant of Venice isn't filled with anti-Semitism.
Sure. Sure. Or the Bible.
I've never read the Bible.
Parts of it are pretty bad.
that would be a great book purport.
I give it a B. So, like I said, Alex takes a big L in terms of this interview.
Yeah.
It's not good. And it doesn't get better. But I started listening to the episode on August 19th.
Okay.
Which is the next day. And he has a little bit of a post game where he tries to save a little bit of face. And here is Alex describing what happened on the 18th about David Duke.
Now, that's some of the news coming up. I want to dive into Hillary Clinton first. But getting back to David Duke, who was on the show for 2 hours, or a little more than 2 hours. Well, we don't count the breaks, less than 2 hours yesterday. And I wanted to have a debate/serious discussion.
You can't.
And Duke said he would come on if I was civil and polite and nice. And he goes on all the other mainstream shows, alternative shows.
Do you mean politically correct?
You know, I want to get him on to illustrate that what he's saying is less incendiary than what Mecha La Raza and racist black groups are saying. But that doesn't mean I endorse what he's saying either.
It kind of does.
It It does in some way. I mean, even just that sentence, that what he's saying is less incendiary than these other
groups. Yeah, that's a white supremacist thought.
It absolutely is.
White people are not as racist. And even our racists aren't as bad as their racists.
And the fact that he's including, like I said, La Raza in there, that are actively an advocacy group for Hispanic population.
Yeah.
They are not a hate group. They are not a racist group at all. They provide legal services and advocacy for a disenfranchised population.
Yeah.
And the fact that Alex lumps them in with the likes of David Duke is also a very white supremacist thing.
You betcha.
So anyway.
And of course, leftist publications are now saying, I'm buddies with David Duke today. We knew that would be said. Mm. We expect them to lie like that.
Eh.
What I came away was this, and I wouldn't do it because it's disingenuous.
What I came away with was, I'm terrible at interviewing. I'm bad at making points.
Okay, so he says that.
No.
Oh.
But I almost did it. During the breaks out there, when he wasn't on air, he looked like a different person. And it really was creeping me out.
Nice.
And he puts this little angel-eyed sweetie face.
Nice.
Hi, I'm David Duke. Alex, I just want to help everybody and be nice. And why are you cutting me short? I want to be friendly. You're courageous to have me on, Alex, but don't cut me short. And I'm not going to answer any of your questions or I'm going to spin them.
Say and then during the break, like a pedophile. He looked
very
wolfish.
I mean, he's a pretty scary guy, actually. I mean, I'll hand that to him. He's an intimidating looking fellow, especially when he wasn't playing Mr. Cootsie. And then I was talking to some business people that are pretty high powered here in Austin. I'm not going to get into it last night. And they were like, oh yeah, David Duke's in business in Austin, Texas and blah, blah, blah. I had no idea how successful this guy is. I mean, there's a lot more than meets the eye with David Duke.
Oh, really?
Why isn't the what does meet the eye is bad enough?
What meets the eye is real bad.
Yeah.
And what doesn't meet the eye is he has business interests in Austin.
Yeah.
Seems very irrelevant. I don't know what he's like. And even at the end of there, that indicates like a very unprepared Alex Jones went into that interview.
Yeah.
If he didn't realize that David Duke was very successful, what does he know?
That he knows he was a member of the KKK.
And wizards are funny.
Right. Well,
that's about it.
That's true.
And because Alex has a large audience of very dumb people, he allowed David Duke to be on and lose an argument with him, which only makes...
And his listeners got mad at him
uh-huh.
for not agreeing with David Duke.
Right. If you were taking the temperature like of that interview, it's... You know what wrestlers do? They come out and they take a survey of the audience.
No.
So there's a trick that wrestlers do. They'd come out and they, like back in the NWO days, this is something they do. Like Scott Hall would come out and be like, how many people here love the NWO? And then you could get a sense of what kind of crowd you were in front of.
Uh-huh.
If there are people who were like cheering for the bad guys and that sort of thing. If you take a poll, basically, or take a survey from that episode, the only answer that you can really draw is pretty much, I don't have the other clips of it, but the other callers were fairly similar.
Yeah.
Like they were mostly, you two agree about everything.
Yeah.
Why? And it's like, I hate to see people in the alternative patriot movement who agree about everything and disagree about a little bit not getting along.
Right.
So if you take that as the survey, the audience likes David Duke more than they like Alex.
Absolutely.
Which is real bad.
Jesus.
But David Duke probably doesn't talk about chimeras a bunch, so Alex keeps his position. I don't know.
Now, that's a powerful man. White supremacist and chimera hater? Done.
Yeah.
Make him president.
So why I insisted that we go over this, even though I knew it was going to be bad and you were going to have a terrible time, and I'm sorry.
That's fine.
The reason is...
I mean, I hate you.
I think that... I don't know how to put this exactly. At the beginning of the 17th, Alex is still on the I don't really trust Trump.
Right.
Even though he is now attacking the Clintons, and that's great... He still is literally saying, I don't endorse him.
Okay.
And he's probably going to backstab us all. He's still there. He has this interview where he gets cucked out on his own show by David Duke. And he's forced to, I'm telling you, don't watch it. Because it's really long, and David Duke says even worse things than we played here. But if you do watch it, you can watch it on mute, and you can watch Alex Jones's face. Mm-hmm. He's having a miserable time because he's face-to-face with the reality of his beliefs. And whether he realizes that or not, he internalized something. David Duke was one of the first people that came out and really supported Trump. I think that there is a subconscious thing that happens, possibly, that once David Duke starts advocating for Trump and using a lot of the same arguments that he makes on Alex's show in the, that we listened to in this episode to support his belief in Trump, something resonates with Alex.
Yeah. Do you not think it's more likely that it's the fact that his listeners seemed very into David Duke?
Maybe.
And that forces Alex to move further to the right.
It's possible, but if I were Alex...
Which, by the way, I do mean right in saying that when you get further right, you're a white supremacist.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how that works.
Really far right is very white.
The farther right you go, you're a white supremacist.
The more right, the more white.
No.
No. Here's why. If I were Alex, I would rationalize the callers away by saying, oh, those were just David Duke's fans.
Mm.
They knew he was going to be on my show. They jammed my lines or something like that. It's pretty simple to rationalize that.
But not if you're, but I mean, I know he can rationalize it if he were explaining it to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of a thing. But I genuinely, just in the same way that his sources are callers.
Yeah.
I think he is pushed by callers.
True.
I think whenever a caller comes in and
says.
Well,
he has to, because they're the people who are buying the goddamn pills.
Right. But not just that. He's a big dumb idiot.
True.
Like, whenever a caller...
He can't read.
Yeah. Whenever a caller says, you've been very politically correct to Alex.
Yeah.
Alex
I
has to...
I love you, but you've been very politically correct.
Alex has to push further against that. Because you just accused Alex of something he hates more than anything else. So now he has to prove, to be a man, that he's not politically correct.
Right, but I think that the way that he can get through that and gets around that is the next day on the 19th, him saying, behind the scenes, David Duke was being a fucking weirdo, and he's creepy, and he scares me.
Right.
So he can be like, he was being manipulative, and I was creeped out.
I know, I'm not saying
he
that.
He can
I'm
get
saying
his masculinity
that,
back from that.
See, you're again talking about what he's talking about on his show.
Right.
I'm talking about Alex, the guy who's running his show.
Right, but I still think that he could feel that. Like, I think he could feel the, I got it back. I got it back by making fun of Duke the next day.
Okay.
I think so, but I'm not sure. I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you may be right. I don't know.
That hurts you to say, didn't it?
No.
I'm gonna give myself a point.
All right. You win. 1-0.
1-0 so
just
far.
Cause I was in the hole. I don't know, man. It's really fucked up, and when we started this investigation, I certainly did not expect that we would run into a fucking 2-hour interview with David Duke. That was not what I was expecting to have to discuss, but I really wanted to do this and get it out this week.
Yeah.
Because this has been impeding my investigation. It really has.
You needed me to yell at you about David Duke
no,
before you can finish.
It's just, I knew that this was a hurdle we were going to have to get over.
Yeah.
And it was stopping me from being able to enjoy
continue
whatever
on.
Happens
yeah,
next.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up. It's so fucked up that anybody with any insight in Alex's position, listening to David Duke, say the exact same things that he believes, but say...
Jews instead of globalists.
Would have a crisis, or would expect that and have a good argument to rebut the things.
Right.
And Alex seems to be far closer to the prior than the latter, but he's not really doing either, because he doesn't give up on the globalist narrative, we fucking know that, and he didn't defend himself well.
Right. I have a question that I'm interested in, because David Duke has been on TV shows.
Yeah.
He's been interviewed plenty of times.
Well, we know he said he was been on O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Right.
And even if you are pushing back against him, like, what is better? Is it a don't feed the trolls approach where it's like, just don't have him on your fucking show?
I think so.
Because you're not going to win.
No.
Like, even if you go line by line, you fucking idiot. This is why you're dumb.
Yeah.
Here is our sources. This is every single thing that not only debunks, but condemns and destroys all of your arguments. And on top of that, you're personally a bad person. And I mean that in the sense that you are evil, you are immoral, you are damaging and hurting other human beings.
Wouldn't help.
Exactly.
No.
There's no win there.
Well, I mean, look at this example from this episode.
When all you're really doing is giving his thoughts a platform.
Yeah, totally.
Which means I think I've genuinely changed my response to the Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones situation, where before we were doing that in our preview episode, I was kind of on the side of like, well, maybe it is a good idea to kind of shed some light on this monster and let everybody in the world know, look at this idiot. This is the avatar of the alt-right. This bumbling, chimera-believing monster is the real face behind all of these people that we are afraid of because they're violent. Mm-hmm. But look at them. They're stupid. They're fucking pathetic.
They're jowly.
Yeah. They're just petulant children that we should just fucking ignore.
But now you disagree with that.
Now I disagree. There's no, well, I mean, if we looked at the Megyn Kelly interview and that was a shit show.
Yeah, but look, I agree with you. I think that not giving a platform is the best thing to do probably because I was reading an article about this and it made a really good point. And it's essentially a situation where respectable people and people with ethics, journalistic ethics, are not prepared to deal with people like this.
No.
Because they don't have rules.
Right.
And they don't abide by any rules.
Right.
So when Megyn Kelly comes and it talks to Alex Jones, for example, she didn't expect that he would turn it into a whole narrative of his own. She didn't expect that he would bluff that he taped the whole thing and start lying about it. You know, it, like, Alex Jones didn't care about the interview itself. I mean, I think he, like we've speculated, there's something on that tape he was worried about.
Yeah.
But he didn't care about the interview as much as he cared about the fact that the interview was done allowed him to create a giant narrative arc. And Megyn Kelly was making a story. Alex Jones was making a story.
Right.
Alex Jones was making hay out of that.
Right.
And I think he got way more out of it.
Of course. Megyn Kelly got 10 minutes that were pathetic.
Yeah. 17.
And nobody wanted to see. No. Or 17 minutes or whatever.
I'd rather watch America's Funniest Home Videos reruns.
Absolutely. Whereas Alex got weeks upon weeks of programming.
Yep.
Weeks and, upon weeks
and
of
quote
getting
unquote
to...
proof that mainstream media is full
exactly.
of shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Alex definitely won that one.
Yeah.
Alex defeated Megan in the way that David Duke defeated Alex.
Now
the same exact way.
But the issue with this is, like, I think that they probably have comparable audiences, David Duke and Alex Jones.
I think they have the same fucking audience.
There's probably a very interesting, very circular Venn diagram of that. But it's so it.
Yeah, Ja'Kari Jackson is the only one outside of the Venn diagram.
Yeah. So I don't know if it is a thing where denying him a platform is really a relevant concern, but I think that the better thing that I would say about it, the more accurate thing at least, is if you let him on your show, you stand a chance of losing to him, and then you've lost to David Duke on your show.
Yeah.
It seems unwise, because I know that I think I could conceivably make better points than David Duke.
Yeah.
I think I could. I would never debate him. I would never talk to him in the same reason that I would never have a serious debate with Alex Jones, because they're both slippery. They're both dudes who lie a bunch. And if you're in a debate with someone and you have a bunch of facts and you have your arguments and they throw out some historical fact that's really obscure and probably a lie that you just haven't looked into and make a huge deal out of it, you might end up appearing to lose a debate that they just lied.
Right.
Like,
well, I mean, look at the way our media covers Trump.
Well, but no.
Like, they're unprepared for somebody who doesn't live even within slightest bounds of society.
Well,
they can't deal with a president who they've been trained to respect the office. And they can't deal with somebody who couldn't give less of a shit about the office.
Doesn't respect his own office.
Couldn't give less of a shit about you.
Nope.
Doesn't care about the truth. Doesn't fucking care. They don't get that. So to them, they think, okay, our job is to cover the president. When in reality, if you're dealing with somebody like that, your only real job is to box them in mm-hmm. and force them to abide by your rules. And that they can't understand.
Right. And I think that there's a chance that, you know, David Duke wasn't forceful about it, but I think that's what he did a little bit on this episode.
Right.
If any aware and decently smart observer would see that and see Alex Jones essentially having to admit that his beliefs have roots in anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's what we've said all along.
Right.
So
here's my thought. Okay.
Right. This better be a closing thought.
Let's war games this.
This better be a fucking closing war game.
Let's war games this. All right.
God damn it.
Here is my plan. If I'm in control of the media, here's what we do. All of the shit that Trump is doing, like we're not allowing cameras into the press briefing and all of that shit.
Yeah.
Stop covering Trump. Period.
That's
no,
an option.
No tweets, no nothing. You only talk to the Senate and the House of Representatives about the healthcare bill.
That's an option.
That's it. That's all you do. How long before Trump explodes? He has to have attention.
Yeah, it'd be pretty quick.
It would be so quick.
Yeah.
And he would, and that would be, that's your only move. That's your only plan of attack against people who cannot help, who cannot be held within those bounds. Your only plan of attack is to take away the one thing that they care about, and that is attention.
All right.
For Trump, it's just that.
So what about Alex?
How do you take away what Alex wants? Oh, you castrate him. That's
or
get rid of that dick.
Or you just constantly tweet at him that him and Gwyneth Paltrow agree about supplements.
Yeah.
Maybe that would work. Hey, Alex, you know what you're selling?
You're selling goop.
Yeah, you're selling like moon jizz or whatever
yeah.
the fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird moon dust.
Yeah.
Alex, you're a trendy.
Right?
You're a trendy,
oh, shit,
Alex.
He is a trendy.
Oh, my God. You're a bougie, liberal, elite, fucking trendy asshole. But just with a different name. In yeah. the same way,
that
you are
a white supremacist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to find our show, you can check us out at knowledgefight.com.
On Twitter, we're at knowledge_fight.
And you can find us on iTunes or on Facebook. We're on Facebook under Knowledge Fight.
Leave a review. It's always nice to get reviews. Mm-hmm. And, also, it's one of those things where it's super cool, to see our audience grow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to do that is just by leaving reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, their algorithms fuck with people.
Yeah, and you can leave a review on Facebook, too, and apparently that helps somewhat. But who knows? I don't know. That's all a mystery to me. So Alex's arguments about, hey, man, look, globalism is not the same thing as anti-Semitism. To me, that argument is dead. That is dead in the water. There's no life in that thing.
When you agree with David Duke, you're fucked.
Yeah. So that's dead. But you know what?
What?
There's one thing that is not dead.
What is not dead? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If
hold on. Before
what?
Before we do this bit.
Wait. Are you saying we were setting up a bit?
Totally.
Okay.
This
wasn't completely natural?
Today I listened to Jason Mantzoukas' episode of WTF, Mark Maron.
Okay.
And I don't listen to that show regularly.
Right. You just pop in and out?
Yeah. And I haven't listened to a long time. I didn't realize that at the end of WTF, Mark Maron screams, Boomer lives.
No shit.
I didn't know that.
All right. Now we got to figure something else out.
The reference that I was going on with the Rappaport still lives is to pro skater / rapper Kareem Campbell. He had a song called, it was like, he did a couple rap songs. He was on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and it was like K to the A to the R to the double EM. Kareem still lives.
Okay.
So that was a reference to that. I just realized there's a podcasting reference that I bet a lot of people think is what we're doing. And
damn.
That is not what we're doing.
Wow.
And I got so scared when I heard that earlier. I was like, oh no. People probably think we're ripping off Maron.
All right. Well, do you know what our...
Rappaport is dead.
Exactly. That's what we have to do now. Hashtag Rappaport is dead.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.